Howdy, folks. Widget Walls from NeedCoffee.com here. You know, you've got a lot of three-hour podcasts that are full of rambling about alcohol, movies, and sex to choose from out there. And we wanted to say thanks for choosing Weekend Justice. This podcast and all of the content on Need Coffee is made possible by financial support from listeners like yourself. Now, some perspective, just a little. Your typical iTunes or Amazon MP3 download is 99 cents, and that's just a single song. A few minutes and you're done. And did I say 3 hours? Yes, we generally go for about 3 hours. But all we're asking for is the same amount you'd give for a single song, 99 cents. If every listener to Weekend Justice gave us 99 cents a week, we wouldn't be rich, no, but I would have probably less silver in my beard. So go to needcoffee.com/support and see about setting up an easy ongoing micropayment for 99 cents. That helps us do things like get the show out faster than Friday evening. Anyway, enjoy the show. Bye.
What was that?
That's a very cartoonish face on your,
Face!
Face! Or is it face? How low can you go? The incredible rhyme animal.
The public enemy number one.
Number one. Oh, now,
my son just scared the heck out of me. He likes to do this thing where he spins around the chair and just turns around like he's holding a cat. You know what I mean?
Like, Dr. Evil.
Yeah, like he's an evil genius, yes.
You know who knows every line of that song?
Bob does.
Yes.
My son's trying to say hi.
What's happening, William? What's the last good movie you saw, William?
What's the last good movie you saw? Tell him.
Did you see, I know you didn't see 21 Jump Street because I saw that with your dad. Did you see Puss in Boots?
Yeah.
Was it any good?
What?
Was it any good?
You gotta learn good mic technique.
Yeah.
Yeah? Was that the last good movie you saw, or have you seen something better since then?
Okay.
I'm not sure what movies I saw. I've heard, Puss in Boots.
You've seen, Harry's?
Did you see all the Harry Potters in the theater?
No.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I didn't think you were quite that old yet. Although, if you went with your dad, I'm sure it would be fine.
All right, well, this has been interesting.
Hasn't it, then?
I love you. Good night.
So long, farewell.
Hey, do you want to say hi to service? Say hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jordan. How are you?
Good.
Good.
You can ask her what grade
are you in now, Jordan?
Sixth.
Holy cow. I'm old.
Stay in school, learn lots of stuff.
Yeah, don't be like crazy Uncle Serv.
Tell them what the last good movie you saw was.
What?
Tell them what the last good movie was you saw.
Yeah, what's the last good movie you saw?
Hunger Games.
Oh, yeah. Dr. Jen, who's my fiance, saw Hunger Games, and she read the books, and she thought they were very good. She thought the books were very good, and she thought the movie was very good.
All right, well, this has also been very interesting. Goodbye. Love you. Good night.
Good night.
Now get out of here.
Good seeing everybody. All right.
Now the filthy
don't forget to tip your waitress.
Now the filthy adults have to talk.
Yeah.
Oh, Scott's here.
Speaking of filthy adults, I've got a bad echo on my own line.
Do you?
Yeah. I hear myself about, well, it comes and goes, but I hear myself probably at least a half a second after I actually speak.
Wow.
Now, do you hear yourself, Rox?
No. I never hear myself.
Hmm.
Well, and that's a good thing.
Mine has gone away.
Even I will go crazy if I listen to myself.
See, now I hear echo, Rox.
I heard that now. But
wait,
it's gone.
Are you hearing echo or no?
Speak now, Rox. I am not hearing echo at this time.
do not hear an echo right at this minute. Ta-da.
All right, hold on. Let me pause this for a second. Let's make sure we don't have some sort of problem here.
Yeah, how are you, Scott?
Oh, hold on. Don't keep talking. And you can exhale now.
Don't tell me when to exhale. I'll exhale when I'm damn good and ready. I hold Scott, it in for a reason, my friend.
Scott, are you rehearsing for... When is the next Mickey Fausti thingy?
We just did the first weekend, and the second weekend is this weekend.
Oh, okay. Is it early? I thought you were in, like, June or something.
We also do another show in June.
Oh, okay. So what did you write this time?
Actually, this is a best of, but one of my skits did get in.
The best but of? You guys couldn't come of. Up with new stuff?
It's the 25th anniversary, so we had to do a retrospective.
No way! Really?
Yes.
How many years have you been associated with Mickey Fausti?
About 10.
Now, the 25th anniversary, how many years have they been around then?
You've been drinking, haven't you?
What? I don't understand what you're talking about.
It's either you've been drinking or you're really that stupid.
I don't understand the question.
When was DreamCon? Because I think that's like the first time I really met Scott, and I know that he was active in it then. That's been like 2001.
I started in 2001, so it's been about 10, 11 years.
So you started this whole thing? Is what you're saying?
No.
This is all your brainchild?
He was associated with it for 10 years.
Right. I've been...
He paid them. He paid them. Please, can I play with you people?
I just took my
right,
legs
Scott?
Off.
So how much? No. So how much was your apprenticeship into Mickey Fowles?
It was all
500.
No.
Slave labor, sweat equity.
Well, there was some sweat equity. Yeah.
Okay.
Like helping to clean stuff and that sort of thing.
The urinals.
No, I did not get near the poo water.
Because he knows who works there. So the last thing he wants to do.
Yeah, you don't want to make eye contact.
Yeah, but I've actually gotten some very good... one of the things
diseases?
I'm doing is a monologue called I, This Little Pig.
Yeah.
What's it about? Basically, it is a existential interpretation of the little pigs, you know, like this little pig went to
Three
market,
little pigs?
Pig stayed home.
Oh. Okay. Oh, that one, yeah.
Yes. It's basically the characters Jean-Paul Sartre.
Uh-huh.
Isn't it Sartre?
Yeah, it not the way I'm doing. Hold on, let me get you a picture.
For pigness, it has to be sow.
Ah,
for,
get, it.
A
get it? Get it? Oh.
Cute. Yeah.
Let me get a picture.
So see, why those and not like the Three Little Pigs? Scott.
Sorry, what? I didn't hear you. What?
Why are you doing, you know, this little piggy went to mark that piggy instead of the Three Little Pigs? Everybody knows more about the Three Little Pigs.
Well, have no, I've been getting a lot of good reactions from this. Piggy.
No, that's not my question, Scott. I'm not saying it's bad. Why did you pick them is what I'm saying.
Well, the piece was not originally written by me.
Oh.
One
okay.
thing.
Oh.
So, no, the piece that I got in was The Problem with Immortality.
Okay, explain, because I have a problem
with
that.
A woman is captured by a serial killer, but she's thrilled because that means she gets to be famous.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, all serial killer victims get to be famous, so that's what you
Not want. Really.
No, well, I make a pretty good
The
case.
Only one, okay, what? Okay, the Black Dahlia, okay, her.
Well, what about the five victims of the...
Name the first one.
Of what?
You just said it.
Of Jack the Ripper?
Yes. Name the first one. Name one of them.
Catherine Eddowes, Elizabeth Stride, Marianne Nichols. Let's see, there are a couple others. Catherine Eddowes.
See, Scott, they're not that famous. They're famous.
It works in the piece.
Okay.
It works in the piece.
All right.
And also, I'm trying to get
it. It also rubs a lotion on its body, but.
Yeah, you know, I can just remember. I don't even remember her name.
In the basket.
You remember her mom, which was Senator Martin, but not her. Senator Martin's daughter's, you know, captured. That's all I remember.
Is it still echoey?
Not. It comes and goes.
Yeah, I think there's like squirrels eating at your internet line. Maybe.
Wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Squirrels.
But I've been getting, like I said, I've been getting a lot of good responses.
Well, I didn't say you wouldn't, Scott. I was just interested on, you know, why you picked those.
Well, actually, it's a bit of a story. I was originally going to do a monologue called Generic Stand-Up, but the person who wrote it had some objections, and we went with this one.
Oh, crap.
And it, you know, it's basically being able to do that wonderfully superior attitude of being a French person. And of course, there's just the silliness of having like the pig snout and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, like, what about the what was the other one? The non-gender, stand-up?
Generic stand-up.
Oh, it is generic stand-up. Knock-knock jokes?
It's like a stand-up thing, except, you know, instead of referring to specific things, it talks about like generic stuff, like, you know, I'm going to make a racist comment here and disparage a minority group here and make some reference about the football team here, you know, stuff like that.
Oh.
But like I said, the person had some objections and that got dropped and we did this one instead.
Oh, what you could have done was be the unknown comic with the bag on your head and you can do it that way.
Please. Wait.
What? What? He was funny.
See, it's echoey right there.
Yeah, it is now.
I'm not hearing anything.
That's not.
I heard there was right there, Scott. Kind of echoey there. Right there. Right there. And there.
Mm-hmm.
So just timestamp the each echo and just erase.
It's not echoing here, is my point.
Oh.
I wonder if it's going to show up on the final. I mean,
it's not.
Well,
it doesn't.
I mean, I'm sure that Widge will do some editing. So.
Whoa! Wait a minute. What? hang on. There's no exams. What the fuck? You're freaking me out.
Are you hearing an echo?
For who?
Well, it comes and goes. I've heard it on myself. I've heard it on Rocks, and I've heard it on Scott.
Is now okay, John? Let me just
hear
ask.
I do hear somebody that seems to have their speakers on.
Not me.
Let me just ask you, John, is Serve the only one experiencing this quote-unquote echo?
Yeah, and he sees rainbow colors in a double rainbow as well.
Is someone celebrating 420?
He has no idea what it's about.
Picture yourself in a boat on a river?
Exactly.
Oh.
With tangerine skies and, what is it, marmalade?
I don't know, but you're making me hungry, and I'm not even on anything.
Sure.
Hang on.
Lucy in the sky with diamonds.
All right.
Diamonds are forever.
But before we get to that, there's this.
Which is?
I am hearing a slight echo.
It's alcohol time.
That's right. But it's time for the stimulant guy to take some depressants. Yeah.
Oh, of which, can we do a special Help Me Rock segment now?
Sure.
But just because this is pertinent, because we have plenty of experts at the moment on this topic.
Don't want to use all of your content. How am I going to? Everything you take away is something else.
Some of my friends to call in. Okay?
Everything you take away is something else. I've got to stretch out.
Executive who? John himself.
This is a pertinent one.
I know exactly what it is.
You do?
Yes.
What do you? You do?
How else?
Did we send it to you?
How else are you supposed to get the questions asked? By osmosis?
Well, which sent me this?
Yeah.
I sent it to both of you, Rocks.
Oh, did you really? Oh. All right.
Rocks.
Well, we
how
wait.
Does email
we
work?
Wait. That's fine.
How does email work? Tune in next time at...
Oh, there's your name.
How do you call it?
There's your name. Never mind. All right.
That's who you are.
There you are.
Oh my God! Oh, it's like a
all right. Well, we'll save this for later then.
Oh, I posted a picture from the monologue I did.
Where?
In the chat.
On
the chat.
All right.
In Flickr. Scott, are you my contact in Flickr?
Okay. All right.
You might be. I don't know. I have to check. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Scott, that is creepy.
We have an emergency though.
What?
That is absolutely creepy. I completely agree with you. However, I do have to interrupt this podcast to tell you that I can't find my bottle opener.
here,
Scott, where's your hand? It's in the pocket.
It's supposed to be. That was the direction.
Thanks,
okay,
Wade.
Hang on.
Up the deck of the jacket. The hang pocket on. Of the jacket.
Thanks, Widge. Thanks for your.
You're welcome. This is great audio. Scott, can I describe the picture to our dear listeners?
Please don't.
Please do.
Actually, it's a cool photo. You know what? This could be like an album cover.
For a Pink Floyd album. For a Pink Floyd album.
A lot of black, and you can do some white type or some psychedelic. This is a great photo.
Okay.
Scott, whoever took this photo, they did a nice job.
Pink Floyd cover band.
I will tell them.
Oh, that's great. John, that's good. All right, so dear listeners, here's what we're looking at. We're looking at, and I'm fighting myself to make this the artwork for the podcast. It's Scott. Okay. Above his head are the words, I, this little pig. He is holding a pipe. I assume it's a pipe.
Yes.
He is wearing kind of jacket.
Yes.
It looks like a tuxedo jacket as created by members only. I mean, it really does. With a white shirt,
to be pink. We're working on the lighting.
We're shot. It's kind of okay.
I like the white, Scott.
Before I talk about where it's shot from, it is. You have Scott is standing there with a pipe, looking to his left, your right. He is wearing a pig nose.
Yes.
Glasses, which are not his glasses. They're even thicker than his normal ones.
Yes.
And a headband with either. A rear view mirror on it, or that's supposed to be ears?
That's supposed to be ears.
Okay. Now, there's two frightening things. First of all, as Don pointed out, Scott's left hand is missing.
It appears in the pocket of the jacket.
It appears to be disappearing below the frame of the photo. So, I think what he's doing is he's saying, this little piggy went to market.
No.
And we're rewriting it, Scott.
And let's not even talk about the roast beef.
But it looks like he's given the middle finger too.
That's
unintentional.
Really? Oh, Scott, you should have owned that.
Okay, no. Hold on. Do you want me to do the monologue? It's pretty quick.
How quick is quick? And
couple minutes.
Hang on.
Is it copyright?
Well, hang on. Two things. First, let me just explain. The second scary thing I was going to say is that we appear to be shot somewhat from a kind of a crotch level for this picture.
First row. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, first row, looking up at Scott's crotch. And secondly, Scott, how long is the monologue, and does it involve any references to a certain movie with Ned Beatty?
It is about a couple minutes, and no, it does not have any Ned Beatty references.
What about Ned Beatty? Does that mean Ned Beatty?
I said references? Ned Beatty.
Oh, I thought you said Nad Beatty.
Nad Beatty is Scott's
porn name. Yes.
Need this baby.
With a K. K-N-E-A-D, this baby.
All right. I shall do...
Okay, do the monologue.
Wait. All right. Hold on. Before you start.
Yeah?
We need to add him in. Okay, there we go.
Oh, thank God.
Okay, wait. He's not quite connected yet. Okay, now you can go, Scott.
Okay, go, Scott.
Okay.
Ah, this little pig am going to market. But it will not become real to me until I've recounted my experience to the little pig who has stayed home. He has stayed away from the market because he cannot face the unbearable reality of discovering how alone he is in a crowd. That as for the little pig who eats roast beef, his amorous bourgeois snout quivering as he tucks into the bloody flanges of meat, his detestable trotters dripping drops of red blood onto the yellow tablecloth, he makes me sick. I feel the nausea swelling inside me. I sweep the menace of roast beef from my plate. I will have none. Now I no longer suffer. I feel nothing. There is no exit from this nonsense rhyme but one. And I cry, way, way, way. All the way home.
So, thanks for dropping me in on that one. So I knew what I was getting myself involved with tonight.
That was priceless.
That was theater. That was theater, Aaron.
Yes.
What the hell else did you expect, Aaron?
This is true. I always prepare to be unprepared for Weekend Justice, I guess.
Absolutely. Quickly. What are you talking about? I've been getting great responses with that monologue. Thank you very much.
Hey, Scott, image, I can get rid of the eye, this little pig, and I can make business cards for you.
Now, Scott, were you being French or were you being New Orleans French?
I was being French.
Okay. Can I give you a constructive note?
What?
The French speak in French?
No. Pronounce your T's like they are D's. And I think that will help your accent a little bit.
So, drotters?
No. I think he's talking about, like, Marquette.
Drotter. Drotter.
I understand. It's just, it's a balance between trying to do a reasonably accurate accent, but not making it so thick that people are trying to figure out what you're trying to say.
That's true. You are performing to Americans. I do forget.
Right. Yes. And it's in Tallahassee, so it's okay.
Yeah. But I have to admit, I've been getting good responses because they're getting the Star Trek references, like no eggs.
Hey, humble brag much?
What?
Humble brag much? Wow. You have to admit that you've been getting good responses. Do you? Do you really? No. By the way, I thought it was fine. It was excellent. I just have to jump in there.
But it's better than that time that he was he dressed up like that and got thrown into the prison on a ship because that was a humble brag.
That also wasn't the play.
What was in the play?
What, Humble what? Brig?
Yes, it wasn't the play.
Oh.
Huh?
What?
Never mind. Jeez, I'm so like way behind tonight. Confused. It's fine. No, it's fine. Fuck you guys. It's cool. It's
what
cool.
Time is it there?
It's 1:45 a.m., sir.
You just go to bed.
So did you guys have your time change then?
Damn.
Oh, yeah, we had a couple of weeks ago.
That. Did you do that?
They do it.
Do that?
Birds do it. Bees do it.
People in Arizona don't do it, though.
Well, that's Arizona.
The other version of that song.
They certainly don't fall in love, that's for damn sure. Oh, my God.
Sorry I'm late. I was watching Doctor Who.
Who?
Yeah, Doctor. I was late because I restarted my modem. Just in case it might help with things. So,
well, did you download the new crappy Skype?
I saw the update and ignored it.
Ooh, I wish
did.
I had done that.
I did,
I'm
however.
Still an old one.
And I'm beginning to wonder if this might be the reason why you're occasionally hearing reverb.
See, that's the thing, is that remember, friends.
It's owned by Microsoft.
Well, no, not even that. Just remember, just because there's an update, you don't have to say yes.
No.
Unless you're an Apple owner right now, then you probably should.
Why? What's going on with Apple?
Oh, they've got more viruses and stuff going their way.
Oh, so the
they didn't get their second.
The non-humble brag about not ever getting any viruses.
Oh, yeah, well, yeah.
Never happens. No.
I never said that.
But you have to admit, Rox, that there have been occasions, shall we say, where
I know there are
Apple users that are a bit more smug than you.
Yeah, I know, and I hate them. I know who they are.
Yes,
because owners.
Rox knows who they are by name, and importantly, by street address.
Right. Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, so I, Rox, I told you I had to tell you a story, but you might actually be proud of me. So first of all, last week was the opening of the Stephen King musical here in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah.
Stephen King wrote the book. John Mellencamp wrote the music, and T-Bone Burnett was basically the executive music person. Directed the music. So first of all, I was alarmed and delighted, Rox, when I say with all seriousness, I think I have found a long lost relative of yours.
Really?
Yes. You'll understand why in a second. When I first heard about the show, there's a character called the Shape, who's kind of like the evil guy. And I thought, well, that's gotta be the Randall Flagg character. And if you've read a lot of Stephen King,
did he have a William Shatner mask?
No. Good call, Scott. No, he did not. But if you've read a lot of King, Randall Flagg is his go-to overall arcing villain. And I thought, oh well, this must be the Flagg character. It's not. It's just straight up Satan. But anyway, the actor slash musician who played him is by the name of Jake Labotz. Now, first of all, Rox, does the name Jake Labotz mean anything to you?
Not at the moment.
Check your hobo book of...
Oh my gosh.
Wow, he needs boxcar in his name somewhere.
Wait. He almost does. Now, okay, Rox, here is his bio. And the sentence one, you will see why I thought of you. After dropping out of school at 15, that's not the part, Jake Labotz hit the road, frequenting punk rock shows, hobo camps, and libraries. He found employment as a roofer, boilermaker, graphite factory worker, and obituary writer. In the midst of this, he began banging on a guitar. He played on the streets and in the juke joints of New Orleans, Chicago, and the Mississippi Delta, finding kinship with the last of the pre-war era bluesmen. Let's see. Now he is he's got six albums done, and his most recent one is called "I'm a Crow."
Oh wow!
And his tour that he does is called "Tattoo Across America," where he performs at tattoo shops.
Oh wow!
With tattoo.
Yes, with.
this is Rox's brother from another mother.
I know.
Yeah.
So anyway, we went afterwards because Cosette was working on costumes for this. We had a pass to go to the VIP party afterwards.
And she was their armorer.
Huh?
What?
Sorry, she was doing something with that gun.
What?
Armorer.
Oh, the picture. Yep. Oh, sorry. Picture. Yes. No, they had for our dear listeners, there's a picture on Facebook of the two of us. And at the party, they had one of these photo booth things where it uploads it to the internet. And the two props they had were a guitar and a Tommy gun. And so I eschewed the guitar and just stuck with my cup of coffee. So it's my wife brandishing a Tommy gun and me with a cup of coffee. So we both had our weapons of choice.
I do like we've reached the point where our in-jokes confuse the people involved, though.
What do you mean we've reached the point?
True.
That was episode 5, which is in itself an in-joke, which no one will get. I'm lying, it's not. But anyway, so went to the party,
And first of all, I did run into Stephen King and shake his hand, which took a lot for me to do because I always hate when someone famous. First of all, it's not a VIP party. If there's like a line to get to the bar that is all the way across the ballroom, that's not a VIP. That there's too many.
There's
not that many very important people. Otherwise, you would have had a bigger ballroom. So, anyway, but
ladies.
Well, there you go. Actually, they have jeans for that now, which astounds me. no, seriously, Aaron, have you seen these? There are jeans for bigger packages.
Yeah, I mentioned that.
And then the Hammer pants.
There's several brands out now. There's like Ball Sack or something, and something else.
It's not actually called Ball Sack.
Yes, but it's BALZAC, and Scott will be making reference to Balzac in his next monologue, where he'll be dressed as an aardvark. But anyway, so I always hate because everyone was like, you know, want to mob the famous people, and I never want to be that guy who's like part of the mob. But I did just go up and introduce myself and shake his hand and just basically tell him that I, you know, wanted to shake his hand because I would regret it if I did not. And he said, oh, thanks, and moved on because he was like, he's thinking, there's far too many fucking people in this room.
Yeah.
Anyway, but so Rox, here is the rest of the story. So at the dessert table for this thing, they had little bowls underneath the shelving, little bowls, glass bowls, clear bowls, full of tiny bottles of Maker's Mark.
No, what? Yeah. Nobody was taking any?
Yeah, but, so, I saw someone with one, so I was going to take one thinking party favors, right? Because right. You would.
Yeah.
There's some server there who goes, no, those are just for decoration. And I what? Said to her, yeah, no, this is, I said to her, thinking, you know, if Rox were here, Rox would steal one. So therefore, I must steal one. But I must find my inner Rox and steal. I said, okay, look, you don't put out tiny bottles of whiskey at a party. And then when somebody tries to take one, say, oh, those are just for decoration. No. Now, if you had one of those giant bottles of whiskey that you see in liquor stores that are primarily like promotional things, then that could be considered decoration because it's not the sort of thing that you can get out of anywhere without a handcart. But a tiny one that you can...
Unless you're Rox.
Well, Rox, because Rox would basically, you know...
I own this. I brought it.
Yeah. See? Okay. Let me just point out the difference between Rox and myself in case anyone needed it pointed out. My mind instantly went to Rox would be the alcohol inspector who had come... try to take it away because of some violation. But instead, Rox, who's much more simple and to the point, just goes, this is mine.
I brought it.
That is you meant simple Rox... in a good way.
No, yes. That's why Rox is much more effective at being, you know, at doing these things. But anyway, so I just waited for her to leave and then came back and took one. Because I'm like, I'm sorry. That is not fair. You cannot.
Hold on. One. Yeah.
Well, because I wanted to save some for the other people who were going to take them. I mean,
Yeah.
It was more the principle.
Actually, you know what you should have done then was go around to people, you know, using your cocktail chatter like you should be doing at parties like this, and saying, "Oh, by the way, there's party favors over there. Make sure you take one." Then they have a problem.
Well, you know what, Rox? I will say I went back. After my second trip to the dessert trip, and the bowls were gone. So I don't know if they cleaned out or if they were like, whoa, wait a minute.
Yeah.
I'm like, but does that make sense to anyone? Those are party favors. When you put those out, that's a party favor.
It is.
You now, don't make anything like that can fit in your pocket that you don't expect to be taken away. If it can fit in your pocket, it's gone.
Right. Or if they're empty, you know, just... The bottles are decoration. That's one thing, but actually full little bottles.
Yep.
That's just
And I like to point out that if you ever have Aaron over at your house, make sure that anything that you can fit in his pocket is nailed down.
He's Irish. That goes without saying.
Small dog, iPod, whatever.
And if you put your hand in my pocket, you might get nailed down.
Spam. You know, he's a big stamp stealer, too.
I will say, you know, Aaron, my response to that is when you only have a hammer, you tend to view every problem as a nail. So.
Well, I hammer in the morning, I hammer in the evening, all over this town.
I've seen the graffiti, so I know. But anyway, so yeah, that was my
How was the musical? You didn't do Away Homer.
I did not do Away Homer. I had the camera in the car and I decided not to do Away Homer.
Okay.
Because
Twitter.
Isn't this like a pre-trial type thing for this?
This was the opening. This was like the world.
Oh, okay.
They had previewed it, but basically the deal is this. It's, this was their first time, all three of them, T-Bone Burnett, Mellencamp King, doing a musical.
Right.
I mean, the only other Stephen King musical was not one that he was involved with. Somebody did a stage version of Carrie, which is hilariously bad. This had some, the set and the lighting and the costumes and everything were amazing. And I'm not just saying that because my wife worked on the costumes. They really were fucking amazing. Like, they had projections and crazy lighting. The end of the first act looked like the entire stage was drenched in blood. Fucking crazy shit like that. They restored like a car and it came out on stage. I mean, it was Broadway level technical stuff. And I'm saying this because I live in Atlanta where people really don't know what good theater is. So that part was good theater.
You guys are working on it. I mean, there was that Bring It On. That was pretty good.
Yeah, that was good. That needed some work. And this needed some work, too, because part of the problem was it basically was like a short story that had been padded out to two acts.
Oh,
by songs that some of them were really awesome. Some of them were like badass. Cause Mellencamp's, does good stuff. He's got some really good songs under his belt. And I'm not just talking about like old stuff like Jack and Diane. I'm thinking more like Mr. Happy Go Lucky and other albums like that. It's good stuff. But some of the songs were weak. And then the second act completely fell apart because it literally felt like, well, I need a body count, so let me make one.
Oh. Did Satan win at the end?
No. I mean, you think
Satan always wins.
But if you think about it, no. Which made the whole thing kind of like, well, why did we just go through this? So it was it had problems. And my thing is this. When Mel Brooks decided that he was gonna make a musical, he was going to do The Producers. He had decided The Producers would make a great musical because people have been telling him that for years. You guys heard the story about how he got the folks on board to do it, right? What are their names? Stroman, I think. Hang on.
Let's pretend we haven't. We've got 3 hours of podcast to fill.
hang on. It's basically, yes. Fucking hell. Yes.
One-sixth of the way there.
No, I know.
It only feels like 1/30.
Drink some more.
Anyway, so I think it was, yes, Susan Stroman. Okay, Susan Stroman and Mike Ockrent are the director and choreography team.
Totally know who they are.
Yeah, well, they've done a shit ton of Broadway, so they are.
Be a quiz later.
And anyway, Mel Brooks went to their house for their meeting. They opened the door. He bursts into one of the songs he's written, sings his way into the house, and as I remember the story, and I'm fairly certain this is fairly accurate, wound up on top of some piece of furniture for the big finish. It was like, ta-da, finished the song, and went, hi, Mel Brooks. Which, I don't know about you guys, but I would pay so much fucking money to see that happen at my house. It would be ridiculous. So they decided
they had to agree just to get this scary Jewish man out of their house.
They agreed because, I mean, they thought it would work. But my point being is that Mel Brooks went and found people who had a track record who could help him be a success at what he was trying to do.
Right.
I really feel like that if these three guys had gone and found someone to work with them on this, it would have been a lot better.
And not Julie Taymor.
No. Oh.
Is she still employable? That's my question.
I would say yes.
Because, I think she's waiting for the lawsuit now.
Well, she probably is, but
I think she's jumping in on her, and I think Peter Sellers, not the actor who's dead, but the director. I think they're going to team up and do something crazy. He's another idiot.
Like a movie or a play.
I think they're going to fight crime.
Yeah, I was just going to say that. It's a Marvel team up, Scott.
Oh, my God. I just love the idea of Julie Taymor speaking to Peter Sellers through a medium. That would be great. We're going to do a stage production. It's all right, Jack, Peter. How does that sound? That sounds pretty crazy. Oh, my God.
So it sounds like both of us have had some very good theater experience this week.
Theater.
Well, I think yours was better because I keep hearing that you're getting great reviews for your monologue.
Me too.
Well, I heard that too. Everyone's talking about it.
And it's a fantastic.
You are.
We're going to have to, we're going to have to raise prices for the Fun Fest.
Well, if he shows up this year.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I went there.
You bitch.
Well, I will say this, Scott. No one can ever accuse you of not bringing home the bacon.
Bum, bum.
Oh, God.
That's the sound of it frying in a pan.
Well, did...
it's also the crowd of his last play.
John, I will never forget that you're a man.
Oh.
I thought you had already gone there. Did I not?
No, you're fine.
Okay, all right. I didn't mean to jump into a sideways into a song joke when it wasn't warranted. And by warrant, I don't mean another song joke. Okay, who are we keeping awake?
That's Scott. It's always Scott.
Scott.
Yeah, it's 1:45 a.m. for me, but Scott's the sleepy one.
Well,
I'm not sleepy. Wait, what's that?
Someone is cooking fucking bacon. Oh, shit. Things just got funky.
That's audio moil.
It's the Healthy Rocks music.
Bacon! Some bacon! Crispy bacon.
And ladies and gentlemen, that was an excerpt from Bacon the Musical.
So, John, do your kids wake up, in the middle of the afternoon, or, in the middle
screaming.
Of the morning and say, Dad, can I go back to bed, please?
Screaming is probably more likely.
Screaming, yeah. Another 8 hours with this man.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
That's terrifying.
I would love it if John was my daddy.
I already am your daddy.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of which, I gotta tell you about a creepy conversation I had.
Really?
Wait a minute.
John,
wait a minute.
What happened?
I'm the only one that can have creepy conversations around here. What the hell?
Hang on, Scott. Let me just clarify. You're confused. Every conversation you have is creepy. You're not the only one who has them, though.
I thought I was the only one on this podcast.
See, that's creepy what you just said.
So, not creepy, it's sad.
So,
Scott, go back to your corner.
But creepy.
So you know that I do some stuff with the scouts. And
yeah, that's creepy.
The other day I let them pie me in the face. Yes, that sounds creepy as well.
Now remember, Scott, you're not allowed in the scouts conversation.
Anywho, and then I let them hose me down afterwards.
Go on.
This isn't the creepy part.
Oh my.
So so we have this Boy Scout who comes out and helps us with the audio because it's at a church and he's allowed to touch the audio equipment. We're not allowed to touch the run the board or anything like that there. So after everyone was gone and we'd cleaned up and he was waiting for his dad to show up. His dad showed up on a motorcycle, and it was the same guy. No, callback. Anyway, so you know I'm in this tank top now because I had shaving cream thrown all over my body and then drenched down with water guns. And so, but I said to the dad, I go, he wasn't looking at me, but I said, oh, you know, thank you for letting us borrow your son.
Oh God, John.
And then as if that wasn't creepy enough, because of course I don't know this man. I saw that he always helped. I noticed that his son always helps us. He's very helpful. And then I said, he's a cool kid.
That's not creepy. That's more awkward.
Then I was just
part was more awkward than creepy.
Do you half naked, covered in cream, talking about his son? That's the awkward part. But telling him he's cool is fine.
All right. Well, good.
Yeah, the
at
first
least that's
part
out of the way.
About the cream and the hosing down, that was creepier.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't talk to the dad about them doing that.
The child is told specifically not to let anyone know about that.
Yes.
Otherwise, he won't get his can of Coke and packet of crisps at the end of the day.
Oh, we don't give out crisps here. So.
See, here it's a candy bar.
Ah, I see.
Oh, that is a creepy euphemism.
I'm just putting in a whole new meaning to the Three Musketeers, right?
Yes. Oh God. Oh, so I have a question.
Are you?
What?
Snickers will satisfy you.
Satisfy you? What?
Satisfy!
Oh, okay.
Suck it to me.
Do you have earwax again?
Do I have earwax again? No, I don't have earwax. Well, I probably have some, but I would say I don't have an undue amount of earwax at this point.
Satisfy me sounds like a terrible Stephen Fry come online.
Wow. That is creepy. So just to let everyone know, as if anyone cares, I'm up to the last episode of season one of Game of Thrones. And my question is this, I'm assuming I'm not spoiling anything for anybody when I ask, is in episode 10 when, Joffrey experiences the quickening after what happened in episode 9?
This was season one?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, okay. Wow. I've got my shows mixed up. Anyway.
Is Carl in the house?
No, Carl is never in the fucking house, Aaron. You know that.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Even when you give him the hat, he never stays in the house.
I got foam in my eye.
Get the house! Joffrey.
What about the throne? If Carl gets the throne, will he stay in the house?
Probably not.
Can't they just tie him to a radiator or something?
Stay in the Red Keep, Carl.
Scott, don't ever talk about tying a small boy to a radiator ever again.
Not even Carl?
No.
Especially Carl. Because you know,
John
will
get his shaving cream and take off his shirt.
Can I?
Hey.
Can I tell you another thing?
Oh, Jesus.
Do we want to know?
No, I'm just trying to figure out if anybody else has had this problem. No, the.
It sounds like a penthouse forum letter.
Yesterday, I stopped off at Publix, local regional supermarket. Local regional. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what it is. And Lionel Richie's Easy. Well, actually, was it the Commodores that did Easy Morning? Easy Like Sunday Morning? Is it just Lionel Richie?
I think it was just Lionel.
Okay. Well, anyway, it was playing. And, I was walking through the grocery store and I could not resist but to start singing out loud.
Okay, now this is creepy.
And then
that's just
it was mostly empty. And then this lady comes around the corner and she just kind of stares. But how is it that? Oh, never mind. I was just wondering if anybody else has had the problem where they just can't resist singing in a supermarket.
No, it's just
no.
I don't even want people to really talk to me in the supermarket.
Yeah. And I always have my headphones on.
Where I am, people are always talking to me in the supermarket. Everybody. I'm not kidding.
But they haven't learned yet.
But it was easy. Easy like
Sunday morning.
Exactly. Yeah, which was Commodore's, by the way. I just looked
it up. It was a Commodore's, okay.
No, guys, it was Faith No More, for fuck's sake. Get it right.
This is true.
with the
Nestle Crunch.
And I went away for a second. It figures. But I stayed on. Hey.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. No, you guys.
We just reached that crazy old man point where he just starts talking.
Hang on. You have to understand. That on my end, what happens is you all go away and all I hear is, and I'm thinking, okay.
Must be serve.
I can sit here and say, are you there? Are you there? But if I come through like I did last episode and I can't hear you, then all I'm doing is say, are you there? And you guys are going, we can fucking hear you, Widge, you fucking moron. So I just kind of wait. And when I come back, I go, oh, I'm back. So.
Is Serve still with us?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Serve.
Hey, Widge, how are you?
Serve is a vital part of this podcast.
Clearly. I mean, without me, I don't think any of this shit gets done.
Sorry. I apologize.
Certainly doesn't get talked about.
Serve, have you been shirtless with shaving chrome?
And now I wasn't shaving shirtless. I actually had a tank top on.
Yeah, but that's like not a proper shirt.
No.
That's a lot of skin showing, sir.
And a lot of hair.
I don't have that much hair.
No, actually he doesn't, Scott. It's weird.
Really?
You think he does. Yeah, you think he does. You think he's like almost like an ape man. But not when you
I would expect
see
him to
you're
be quite
like,
hirsute.
I'd expect him to be like a total bear, but no.
I know. No, not really.
Really?
No. Yeah, it's amazing.
It's a type of bear.
Yeah.
Let's point out that when Rox is, when you finally see him naked.
Or in a pool party.
Which I believe
which
is
I
sexual.
I wasn't invited to.
You were too.
It doesn't matter. You don't show up anyway. You're worse than Serve.
I didn't think that you could go out in the sun for more than 2 minutes.
No, that's
I tan quite well, actually. I'm not ginger. You're confusing me with ginger people.
I didn't say
and vampires.
Were.
And Widge.
Which is basically the same thing.
So is Widge a ginger?
Is a ginger?
Widge is a ginger vampire. Which
I am
actually,
not a ginger vampire.
Which actually get black hair. So ginger vampires
Widge,
have black
first,
hair.
The first morning I ever was at Widge's house, I wasn't aware of the rules of no sunlight. And I did what I would normally do when I'm the first person up in a house. I would open the curtains.
Oh, yeah.
He nearly slapped the taste out of my mouth. When he did. I swear to God. Look in his eyes. I haven't felt that cheap since the last time I saw Scott. It was really, it was just. It was a terrible thing.
It is.
Oh, God. No,
I think it's just a thing living in the South. You know to cover up from the day ball. Just in general.
I don't.
Yeah, but you guys are weird.
I'm doomed for you know, cancer, but you know, whatever.
I have a lovely tan that I will talk to any other like wrestler that shows up at Dragon Con because they're pro tanners, most of them. And we'll compare notes.
Except for Sheamus.
Yeah.
Sheamus isn't a very good tanner.
No.
Or,
I like
or
that
the
Adam, though.
Guy.
Sheamus is the dog in Pink Floyd's kitchen or something, right?
Sure, Widge.
No, I'm sorry. I was in the kitchen. Sheamus, that's the dog who was outside. I'm sorry.
Nobody? I thought that was Cora.
At what point do we just kind of ignore what he's saying and keep going on with
he's
things?
He's a crazy old man. Shh.
I know.
Fuck you all!
I'm only a year younger than Widge. You can fuck off too.
See, I'm just surprised at how old Widge is. I thought he was much younger than he is.
Now you're sucking up.
No, I actually did. I actually thought he was not much younger, but you know, a couple of years younger.
Wait, how old
well,
are you?
Didn't I, He's in 58. The, I did in the episode I wasn't on. I listened to the episode from about 2 weeks ago the other day.
Why?
And you hinted at his age. And if I'm correct in guessing what the hint was, at what point do we get him in the home? because I feel like the internet connection there might be better than where he is now.
He's younger. He's younger than I am.
And technically, yeah, he's younger than I am.
Is that the?
But not by much.
Is that the what you're going to tell me, Aaron? When they come in the white coats with the van?
Yeah. No, don't worry. They've got a great connection. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh.
Wait, they've got T1.
Oh wow.
You mean Terminator, the original?
Oh, Lord.
I was at the movie theater and saw that.
Uh-huh. Oh, jeez.
Do you know what
or
my
the
first
cinema,
PG
as we called
film
it.
Was? My first PG film was Jaws.
Oh, my. I think I saw
mine was Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I think mine was Grease, actually.
You know what's worse, though? We got ones even younger than the Irishman.
It was
Isaac and a cynical 13-year-old. We've got like fetuses all over the damn place.
Hang on, Scott. Yes. Be very careful.
We don't have any of these people.
Thank you, John. Thank you.
None of these people have been owned, and we aren't thanking anyone for borrowing them.
And you know they're not in my crawl space.
Dear authority figures, we do not have any of them. So if they are missing, it's not on us.
Yes. And you can't find Spaz House from Google Maps.
No, you can't. Now, you know, and you know what? I think, Rox, don't you
Wait,
have...
How does that make it any better, Rox? I'm not sure that
it's
you're
hidden.
Making
your... It's hidden. If I give you the address, you can't see it from space.
No, my point is that we're trying to prove that we're innocent.
John,
you're giving them excuses that were hidden.
You know what also isn't on Google Maps top secret installations, so you know Spaz House should not be approached.
No. The thing is...
You'll be met with deadly force.
Wait, now we're threatening them?
Wait a minute.
Chuck Norris movies?
No, Scott is threatening them. We're not. I would like to distance ourselves from Scott and his threatening ways. He's gotten his trotters in a bunch, so...
My detestable trotters.
Pronounce it with a D.
With a D. So anyway, so
but, I did trust you.
John, what you have to understand is that Spaz House is like that. Is like the evil palace in Krull. It just kind of teleports around.
Oh my god, I love Krull. 5 miles can travel.
Of course you do.
In a day. Bring up Krull, I'll say that line. It's the only line I really know.
Why do you think I brought it up, Rox? I mean,
you
played exactly. Oh my god! So I took Cosette today to see Hunger Games. So it was my second time.
She didn't see it the first time.
No.
She was working on that Stephen King.
Yep.
Thing.
Program.
Yep.
Grammy.
So
one of them has to have a
miniseries.
Wow.
One of them has.
Wow.
Hold on a second. Wait a minute. Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait, that's more of this.
What the fuck just happened?
I'm just adding to the list of reasons why Widge will someday punch me in the face.
Cosette, can I buy this special
He's not the only one.
And here is the...
Scott, when you want to punch me in the face, it's for a donkey punch. That's the only reason why you're up for it.
And
no, but Scott, it's a literal punch of a donkey.
No, I'm not that freaky.
And Aaron, and to think the wallpaper on my phone is the picture I took of the Guinness mug filled with coffee. Now, granted, the only reason I did that is because the live wallpaper I normally use was too much for my phone to take.
Now, have you yet to resolve that in any way, shape, or form?
The resolution is when the phone dies, I'm going to buy an iPhone. That's the resolution.
You're waiting for it to die?
That's his rule.
My rule.
The power button has to fall off.
Can't you accidentally drop it?
No, here's what's funny. So Thespia sent me this app for Android that apparently is the equivalent of what on Apple, where you can go and hunt down your phone if it gets stolen or something.
Right.
And my half of my brain was going, you know, actually, if my phone got stolen, I'd have to buy another phone.
Now, when you say stolen, the people on the podcast can't see you do the air quotes with your hand.
Oh, that's good. I wasn't doing it with my hand. So,
ladies,
what?
Just hand it in a jacket pocket, too.
Mark that one, John.
Oh, it hurts. But anyway, no, I was Hunger Games is still just as good the second time around. Was very happy with it. And 4 weeks in a row, number one at the box office. Fucking crazy.
Right. We haven't had anything like that for a while, right?
That's shit. Right. What was the
you're
last
gonna, you're going to have that a lot this year, though.
Because Harry Potter got bumped even after the second week. So it had, like, no staying power at all.
The thing is, though, Aaron, I really think it's...
It's not all the way back to Avatar, is it?
You know, it might be. Because Avatar actually came... The thing about Avatar was it went back to number one. Let me see. Hunger Games, the first, yes. You're, well done. Avatar was the last one. And I think that.
So the nappy is like Viagra? They're both blue?
Did you say the nappy is Viagra? That's disgusting.
Nappy!
Oh!
But that's like describing the Smurfs as Viagra.
I'm confused. What is this conversation
about? That's Smurfing
wrong. I think this is something about Doctor Who.
It could be.
Fuck you.
Makes as much sense as Doctor Who.
Yep. No, actually, Lionsgate, God bless them, they're having a, what was it? What was the weekend? How did Cabin in the Woods do? Wasn't it like second?
You thought highly of it.
Third. Oh, God.
I've heard nothing but good things about it. Of course, no one can ever talk about it, though.
Second. Yeah, well, no. If anyone starts trying to tell you details about Cabin in the Woods, punch them.
The one thing I did hear, and this isn't a spoiler thing, is that the commercial almost is too much as well. That the trailers are actually too much. It kind of does a disservice.
No. Here, what I would say is this. Now, first of all, disservice, is that your evil anti-you, Serve?
I think that's actually my cousin once removed.
Oh.
I thought that's what John listed under his hobbies.
Oh, God.
Uh-huh.
Anyway,
so it's like that.
Wait a minute. Okay, so first of all, America.
There, that's really late, but whatever.
Thank you.
Dear America, Three Stooges came in second. You're all going to burn in hell.
America is dumb.
Ow.
At least it wasn't first, though.
Oh, my God. If it had beaten Hunger Games, that would have been ridiculous, even though it was the fourth weekend.
Still, I would say we all moved to Canada.
I will say this. No doubt this Three Stooges is probably horrid. What is it getting on Rotten Tomatoes right now? Like a 2, maybe? I don't know. But it is the only kids movie out there, and it's been pretty freaking hot outside. So.
No, it can't
Isn't
be a
Pirates
kids
out?
No, next week.
Can I just mini rant before we go into that?
Please.
It's pissing me off at the moment that in Dublin, Pirates cannot be seen after 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
Why?
On any day of the week.
Why?
They're classing it only as a kids movie, essentially, so they're only showing it at a kid-friendly times. They're not showing it at times when grown-ups with jobs can go.
But Aaron, I mean, that doesn't make any sense, because, I mean, it's Aardman. I mean...
Yeah, it's baffling me.
And don't the parents have jobs?
Well, I guess on Saturdays and Sundays
well, this is Ireland.
Taking their kids.
Hey, never mind.
That's their jumping.
John, can't slag my country. Three Stooges is number two in the box office in yours. So really,
yeah. Well, there is that. No, it's 43% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
Oh, what was number two in your country this week, though, Mister?
Well, let's have a look, shall we?
We shall.
Wait, 43? That's awfully high.
Oh yeah, that's right. We're having a movie pissing contest.
We're having a box office off.
Who actually liked that movie to give it a 43?
Irish.
I've got it. I've got it right here.
Okay. Do the Irish even have movie theaters? That's my next question.
Apparently so.
Yes, but they call it the Magic
The Hunger Games is second this week.
They call it the Magic Lantern Pavilions.
Titanic 3D is number one.
Oh. Yep. Yeah, you have nothing to talk about.
Mirror Mirror is 3. 21 Jump Street is 4th. Pirates is 5th.
What was 2?
And I don't know, is Three Stooges even out in Ireland right now?
They just called that closing time there.
Wow. Pirates opens the 27th.
John's being ever
can
so
I just
slightly
say,
racist.
Number 9 in the Irish box office is an opera.
Wow.
What is our number nine?
The Watusi, the twist.
We officially gave more money to an opera. It's Massenet's Manon Mitt opera, if I'm probably pronouncing
that.
Oh,
no, Manon. No, that's Manon. Not an opera.
And if you do it twice, it's called Manomanon.
Yes. That is number nine. Massenet. We bought a zoo, number 10. We've given more money to the opera than the zoo.
Well, no, actually, cumulative, you've given almost 300,000 euros to the zoo.
Yeah, but the opera's only just in cinemas, though, in fairness. So
I know, that's true. And my understanding is it's all happening at the zoo. I do believe it. You got that
one? What's the bit about giraffes? I always remember the giraffe line, and now I fucking forget it.
What?
Giraffes are insincere. That always blew my mind as a fucking line in the song. Just as anyone would call giraffes insincere. It just, for some reason, always tickled me. Anyway, go on.
What?
Simon and Garfunkel moment.
Nice. Aaron and I just shared a transatlantic Simon and Garfunkel moment.
Need a cigarette?
Oh, yeah, actually. What were we talking about?
We were arguing over this, I can't remember now. John interrupted us.
What I was going to say is, schedule-wise, for a four in a row again, I honestly don't think that's going to happen. And the reason I mean, you might get a threefer, but a four, probably not. There's just too many big movies coming out, one right after the other, that are going to erode everything else. And I don't think anything up until maybe shit, even like The Hobbit, I don't think is going to do it.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, Avengers is totally going to do it. Are you kidding me?
No, hang on. The Avengers. Okay, at least here, you've got the Avengers. Okay, fine. So then Dark Shadows comes out the weekend after. That That probably won't top it. But when you've got Avengers, Dark Shadows, Battleship, The Dictator, and What to Expect When You're Expecting, all in theaters at the same time? No, I think it'll get eroded. And if not by then the weekend after that is Men in Black 3.
Okay, well, maybe Men in Black 3 will knock it off, but does that give it 4 weeks?
No.
How many? Is it just three in between or something, is it?
I mean, that's the thing, is that even if you do three, something will erode you down and take you out eventually. It's going to happen, because every fucking weekend, when we went through the schedule last time, every fucking weekend is going to be huge. I mean, you think, okay, well, Amazing Spider-Man. Nope. 2 weeks later, Dark Knight. And
boom, yummy.
Now, here's what's funny. This is, you can tell how well people think Dark Knight is going to do, because Dark Knight opens with basically nothing fucking else. And then the next weekend is like nothing. It's a comedy and Step Up Revolution. Because people are like, yeah, no fucking way are we getting a mess with that.
Need something for the tweens.
It's not until the weekend after that you get both Born Legacy and Total Recall, which is weird, because I would have moved one of those.
I don't think they have much faith in the Born Legacy one,
which is a shame, because I like Jeremy Renner. I think he's good as like action guy, because he was great in Ghost Protocol. He makes a great fucking Hawkeye. But my thing would be, honestly, he's better off hitching his star to Mission Impossible franchise. Because, I mean, he would take over for Tom Cruise when Tom Cruise decides to just step back and be producer.
Well, see, I think he got the Bourne role before the Mission Impossible one. That's how long it's taken to get this Bourne one out.
I know. Well, part of it was getting a director. And then part of it was finding out if Matt Damon was in or not, because he was only going to come back if they brought the director back, and they didn't. So, speaking of directors coming back, so John, you're the Hunger Games enthusiast.
Yes.
Okay. What is your reaction?
Our hungry hippo, if you will.
Have you seen that shirt on?
Oh yeah, there's multiple hungry hippo Hunger Games shirts, and that's actually quite funny. I'm just so happy I'm not the only one who remembers that fucking game. No, John, what is your reaction to the fact that Gary Ross has left the sequel?
He what?
Oh, fuck.
I missed that.
Director Gary Ross left.
Why?
Whatever it's Crushing Burn or whatever. What is the fucking one called?
Catching Fire.
Catching Fire.
Because I just watched an interview with him on MTV. It's a little bit back around the release time, but where he was talking about he'd already had some plans in mind for what he was going to do for the sequel.
Well, the official reason given was that the timetable to get it done, he was concerned about.
Means it was too short, right?
Which means bullshit, because frankly, that movie's made how much fucking money? If you ask for anything, I need this to get the sequel done, Lionsgate will give you whatever the fuck you want.
Huh.
I think. Now, I understand his point of he didn't want to be in the position of, say, other films that... for example, now they're comparing it to, like, X3, which is dumb, because X3 was dumb. And they were foolish to bring Vaughn in to direct anyway, since it was a publicity move. But I don't see that as being an issue, because they have made so much fun. Unless they're stupid, they will give you anything you need to make that sequel and bring it out on time.
Yeah, because Hollywood's not stupid.
We looked up his credentials a little while ago.
Yeah.
Has he ever done a sequel?
I don't know.
Oh, wait, is he back to his old games? What is he, has he done this before? That's like what the question, I guess.
No, because he's, what is he attached to? But anyway.
Yeah, I think he's only done singles. I don't think he's ever done anything that's had a sequel.
No, I mean, this is his
not
first.
Not that it matters, I mean. But...
I know, but this is his first franchise, really.
Yeah.
But is it possible that it was negotiation time and he saw how much money the film made and started making the demands that they said, fuck you, we could get anyone in on this film and make a bomb?
Now, Aaron,
that sounds realistic.
That sounds like that could be it, and the official reason is whatever. But, I mean, my hope would be, Serve, which is probably unfounded, is that really Lionsgate seems to make two sorts of films. They either make cheap films that they know they're going to make money on, the Corman method, if we can, or they make stuff like that is pretty much expected to make money. Like Hunger Games, you could say, I don't think there was anybody doubting they were going to make money. Tons of money. Like,
I think they were expecting money, but I don't know if they were expecting 4 weeks at the top of the box office.
Well, I think Lionsgate bet well, let's put it that way.
Because, I agree, but I think the general idea was it was going to make money, but not money.
Well, the other thing I would say is that, like, for example, things that they're willing to, I'm just trying to look up the budget for Expendables, because Expendables 2 is coming out. Let's see.
Yeah. Okay. I see. Sorry. Go ahead.
No, just real quick. Expendables 80 million worldwide, take 274 million.
That right there is, that's Hollywood's love of a movie like that. I mean, it just prints money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Make it for 80, score double that, you know, do it again and do it one more time if you can.
Yeah. And I think we talked about this before. That's why horror movies are really beloved for multiple reasons. You can do them for cheap. Mm-hmm. They score big overseas. They do well on video and other arenas, so that the cinema release is pretty much an afterthought. To me, I've never understood why people don't follow what is in essence the Corman method. Take $10 million, make a movie that makes $20 million. You just doubled your money. Now go make two $10 million that make $20 million. Repeat, rinse, repeat, rinse, repeat. So
I still say some of that
is ego. I mean, you get more ego out of doing a $100 million movie than a $10 million movie.
Well, ego plays into it. I mean, we've talked multiple times about how the box office, the fact that you make number one at the box office really is more important than how much money you made on a lot of levels. It's a status thing. So, you know, the fact that you may, if you had a slow weekend, because I've had slow weekend when nothing fucking comes out, and the number one thing at the box office makes $11 million. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter what it is. It's just like, oh, well, we got number one. And you'll see number one film in America, which is hilarious, especially when they throw a genre on there. That's when you know that something's gone wrong. Number one comedy in America. So you're not the number one film. You're just the number one comedy.
Comedy buddy film.
That takes place in a high school that
travel show
has a female lead.
Number one film starring Adam Sandler in America.
Number one film we made.
So this is kind of where I was going the last time when we were talking about him a bit. Apparently, everyone agrees. I'm just reading. Where is this? LA Times. Everyone agrees that he is a talented director. The flip side of this is, though, that he wants to do every single thing. And they're hypothesizing that he has 4 months to get it ready. He has 4 months to start before they have to start filming, which, as they point out, is not a short period of time, especially given the fact that you kind of know where you're going anyway, and you already have a script. But he wants to do his own rewrite. He wants to do a rewrite of the script. He wants to have his shot at it. And if you look at all this other stuff that he has done, why he has so much time between films, it's like ridiculous. I mean, if you look at his resume, it's like there's like huge gaps. If you were to get this resume as a, I don't know, as a DBA or a clerk or whatever, you go, what have you been doing for these 3 years? He has these big gaps in it. It's basically because he does his own thing. He wants to do every single bit of it. And I guess that's what the real issue is that he probably wanted to push it back so he could do his own rewrite. And they didn't want to do that.
Because they gotta
strike while the iron's hot, right?
Well, they gotta strike while the iron's hot, but they also have a cast that they don't want to get much older because
it's true. I
mean, you got the Harry, anytime you're running into a series, you've got the Harry Potter problem, which is, oh my God, how are we going to get all these movies done so that our actors aren't 40?
And the way that the next two books lay out is, yes, the next film would be a year later, but the following film takes place immediately after the second book. So the third book takes place immediately after the second book. So it's like it's a bang, 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 bang thing. So you have to
essentially film them back to back.
Yeah, almost.
Maybe that was part of the thing. He was asking for a lot more money because he was going to have to do two movies back to back.
According to I've read two articles now, and everyone says that the money is not the issue because he can basically say, I want X number of dollars, and they will give it to him. But here's a quote. Where was it at? That they were saying, I got to find it again. Damn it. I just lost it. Oh, okay. Well, Here it is. It's no secret. This is not a secret in Hollywood. Before Hunger Games, if you talk to many of the agents who are tasked with knowing what's going on in the studios, chances are that sooner or later, Ross's name would come up for a project. Sometimes this is followed by a barely perceptible eye roll, the kind that turns Gary Ross wants to do it into, we both know Gary Ross is not really going to do it. Over several months in 2009, entertainment outlets reported on three different high-profile projects he had become involved with at various capacities. A biopic about Lance Armstrong, an adaptation, if you will, of the classic Matt Helm spy novels, and the Spider-Man spinoff Venom. But, he didn't do any of those. He just kind of writes his own. Dude wrote Big, so big props for that. And he also did Seabiscuit, big props.
He wrote Dave, which is a great movie. And he directed, wrote, and produced Pleasantville, which is a fantastic movie.
But all those have years in between them. So he spends a lot of time on the project, and he's extremely talented, but he wants to do everything. And they go on to talk about how a different director would kind of pawn those things off so as to not be involved with every single aspect. But he's a kind of hands-on guy, so maybe that's what he's upset about.
Well, I will say this. I am... my hope is that they keep everyone else, because what I was struck by while watching it again this afternoon was just the feel and the look of the film and how it was shot. Mm-hmm. It was so good. And the style of it as I mentioned this in my review, but I mean, literally every single chance, and this is not spoilers, but basically, The tributes go into a train car. They see more food in one place than they probably have seen in their entire life. It's opulence that they have not seen, very obviously. And any other film would have basically shown them reacting to it and given one of them a line saying, "Wow, I've never seen so much X in my life," right? And I don't mean ecstasy, the drug. I mean, like, you know, food or whatever. But this is a film in which it actually thinks you're smart enough to get that from the performance. You know what I mean? Is that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, no, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That really fucking annoys me. It's literally the Chris Claremont method of writing cinema, which is, I've never fucking forget this. Some issue of X-Men where I picked it up and I flipped to a page and there's a panel in which Kitty Pryde and Lockheed the Dragon are there. Kitty's in a spacesuit. And they're out in space, obviously. And there's been a hull breach. You can tell there's been a hull breach because there's a fucking hole in the side of the spaceship drawn by the fucking artist, right? And air is rushing out of the hole, not only because that's what happens, as we all know, being sci-fi geeks, when you breach a spaceship hull, but also because the artist has drawn the action lines that show the air rushing out of the hole. So that's all very evident. And yet Kitty Pryde is there saying, "Oh my gosh, there's been a hull breach and all the air is rushing out into space." The entire page was like that, where Chris Claremont, having obviously written stage directions, quote unquote stage directions for the artist to follow, saying, "Here's what's happening," felt the need to put the stage directions essentially into the mouths of the characters. That fucking makes me crazy.
Well, could it be that he just wanted Kitty to look stupid?
No, because I don't think it was not just Kitty. And it's because that Claremont has increasingly become insane as time has gone on.
Not unlike which.
All I will say is this. If I ever do something that sort of insane, I want one of you to come up and like throw a beer in my face or hit me or something.
Aaron, you have your marching orders.
Now, I'll take the word something.
Now, all I'll say is, have
I think
the
Aaron might have fallen asleep.
Ready. Have the fucking evidence ready. No, you said, here it is. just going, "Oh, I thought you had written that. Sorry about the punch." That won't work. That won't work.
So to answer your initial question, I'm in shock and awe.
Okay,
not that. Awe, but I'm shocked.
Hmm. So I'm going to be fascinated to see who they tap.
And they got
to
do it quickly too. That's unfortunate because I'm sure that the cast had a well, the other hypothesis is that he had a bad time with the cast and no one's talking. But I would imagine at some point somebody would have said something by now.
I somehow doubt that for some reason.
I can't imagine having a bad time with Jennifer Lawrence.
Not like that.
That noise following my sentence made it very creepy.
There's a lot of creepy stuff going on here. I don't know. I think it's... I pretty much get... I think that they can get... I would think that basically there are going to be a lot of people who are tied up with other projects who are pissed right now because they're just like, "What? Fuck." Although the good news about this is there's an X-Men First Class sequel that's coming And the reason that came up is because they're having to work around Jennifer Lawrence's schedule because she's in that as well. So, because I'll be happy as hell to see the return of Irish Magneto.
Now, is it still going to be called First Class? Or would it be Second Class?
I think it's Business Class.
No class. That'd be the Tyler Perry rewrite.
That's Sophomore Class?
I don't know. Does it have a title?
Top of the Morning Class.
I don't think it does. Although I just clicked on this link, Aaron, and you'll be pleased to know that according to Hollywood Reporter, Avengers is tracking to open north of 150 million.
Yeah, it is.
Tracking.
That's not a surprise.
I'm actually contemplating taking
half
a day
of that
off
will
of
be my money.
I'm taking who?
Now, I will say, is anyone doing the whole go and sit in the theater and watch all the movies?
I so want to, but unfortunately, I have a thing I have to do that Thursday night.
I would have that deep vein thrombosis.
Wow.
Say it like a Frenchman.
I would.
Thrombosis? Isn't that dromedary?
I can't even.
Are you get a camel growing out of your leg?
Camel.
I would have a big bit vein thrombosis watching all of those movies in a row.
I might actually do it one a night and leading up to it though at home.
I nerd out
on my own.
I will say that I need to still listen to the commentary for Captain America because I'm a commentary junkie. And I was happy that Bronick did a commentary on Thor. So that was actually...
Can we just go back and talk about how dumb Captain America's outfit does look, though, still?
Really? Okay, I like it.
I don't know. I don't like the helmet.
The cowl.
It's the head, right.
Yeah, the head thing is bad. Now, my thought is this, and then Rocks, because you're the artist, feel free to chime in. But what I'm wondering is, and what I'm hoping is that's what they put him in, and it gets torn off fairly quickly. And then my hope is that they go to the ulti-cap, where it's more soldier-esque than... I mean, because it's basically two steps removed from the, whatever it was, 1980 Captain America film with the floppy wings. It's real close.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, Rox, what were you going to say?
I wasn't looking at his head.
Not that head, anyway.
Or that one.
My next point was
fucking fantastic.
Why even have him in a cap? That's what I don't understand.
Well, I think I can see where they would do the whole "you're the symbol of blah,
yeah," but they didn't make Hawkeye put it.
His pointy-eyed self. John, they did put it. They have two armbands on him. What the fuck is up with that?
You know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
What fuck.
It's symmetrical.
He's not even Olympic standard archery at this point.
I know.
What kind of actor is he?
No, he's not.
The problem is? He is the one guy with a penis and a bow this year. That's the problem. Everyone else is chicks with bows. It's 2012 is the year of chicks with bows.
That Cupid movie never got made?
No. I don't think it did.
Unbelievable.
They did tell him to draw back his bow and let his arrow go, but he didn't.
The Sam Cooke biography too, right?
Actually, you know what? There was a Sam Cooke biopic. I don't know what the fuck happened to it.
I'd go see that.
Gary Ross is directing it.
I would go see that, and there's supposed to be a... Don Cheadle, who's supposed to do like a Miles Davis biopic for forever, which would be great because I love Don Cheadle. But I tell you, I will say this. I really want to fucking see a trailer for the Sacha Baron Cohen Freddie Mercury biopic.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Amazing. That's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. Because that's happening. I mean, I'm assuming by now it's probably in post-production. I want to see that because I think he will fucking own that.
You know what we need to do closer to Dragon Con? We need to do this entire podcast again then as a primer for Make the Bad Men Stop.
It was a fucking primer for Make the Bad Men Stop. It really is. What the fuck was I going to say? There was
You've
something.
Been here for 5 hours. Report. You want to do introductions now?
That's what I was going to say. Thank you, Robo Aaron. It's kind of it's kind of like you know what it is? It's kind of like the regular you Aaron, but a replicant.
It's so helpful.
I know. All right, so I think at this point we should do introductions. I'll just make a note that we're doing here. No, not Nitro intro. There we go. That would be a completely different podcast. And that excites Rocks. All right, we'll do introductions, and we'll do them starting now.
We've seen you staggering out of the work week, but now it's time to buck up, little camper. The weekend is here. This is a needcoffee.com podcast, and we're going to help you the rest of the way home. Stand by for Weekend Justice.
Another edition of Weekend Justice. It's the Weekend Justice podcast here on needcoffee.com. It is the number one audio train wreck on the internet. And if the past hour and a bit didn't prove that to you, then I don't know what the fuck is your problem. We're here in the Hall of Weekend Justice with the Weekend Justice League, and I will endeavor to introduce them. Going from my right to your left, we have Aaron Poole is with us. Hi, Aaron.
I have two armbands.
But where are they?
Oh.
Ladies. Got two armbands and three arms.
Are they Olympic approved?
No. And I wear funny glasses instead of wearing a hat.
That's probably for the best. Say to Loki, you wouldn't punch a guy with glasses, would you? We have Scott Steen with us. Hi, Scott.
Bonjour.
No, you pronounce the J as an H. I don't know.
Cochon.
Caution. Yeah, that's probably for the best.
Caution.
I heard you. It's okay.
Oh, you know, regret Paris.
So do the French pronounce Disneyland as Tisneytand?
No, or they pronounce land? It Merd.
You don't swap D's and T's. You just keep them all
D's.
Oh,
okay. I thought
ladies.
Oh.
Everything's all D's.
Why don't you get on this D?
But what happens if you've got two T's together? Does that make a double D?
On certain beaches, you can get sunny D's.
Whoa! We also have Rox. Just passed
my D between those two T's, huh? What?
I'm saying hi, Rox.
I wasn't looking at his head. Just in case you missed it.
So, when do we meet the real super soldier? We also have Serv with us. Hi, Serv.
Hey, Widge.
Hey, how's it going, Serv?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm doing good. So, after watching Hunger Games the second time, I must ask, are you going to shave your beard in the style of Wes Bentley from the Hunger Games?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't seen it yet. Dr. Jen saw it, but I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, I see. Well, as far as ideas for crazy facial shit to do, I will tell you.
That might be the way.
If you emulate Wes Bentley, you will get a lot of attention.
Very interesting.
There you go.
Hey, did we ever come up with a ministry name for Serv over here?
Scooby Snacks.
Because I have a suggestion.
Scooby Snacks?
No.
I like that.
Actually, mine was works on so many levels. He's the minister of herbs and spices.
That works as well.
That's pretty good, too. He can be both. I mean, that's fine. I mean, we're easy.
Herbs, spices, and Scooby snacks?
I like it.
Oh, my gosh. He can sport a Colonel Sanders-type facial.
Now,
oh, that's true. Easy.
You've done
that's
it
easy.
Before, right? Yeah. And by that,
yeah,
I mean...
Yeah, it's the Van Dyke. Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah.
Before
we get lost in facial hair, we have John with the Unique Geek. Hi, John.
I'm constantly lost in facial hair. And I'm also lost in emotion.
And I'm the gay one.
Yes. Wait, let me check my notes. Yes.
What about me, Widge?
Oh, my shit.
Yeah, Stephen Hawking wants to know, Widge.
But we've got the bot is here with us. Hi, bot.
Who?
Todd hasn't typed hi into you yet.
What you talking about?
Hi.
Stephen Hawking, Aaron. Stephen Hawking.
What?
Why, sir, I am glad that you remembered me.
That is the worst Stephen Hawking impression
that
I've ever heard.
Wasn't good this
no,
time.
No, I will say, that Russell Howard does a worse Stephen Hawking than you, Aaron. So you're fine.
Fuck you
not
all.
Somebody does.
Yes. Yeah. I'm very happy that good news is back on the air. So.
Can I point out that Rhys Davies is appearing at Dragon Con now? The poor man's Brian.
Man's poor man.
Yeah.
What? Rhys Davies from the Kinks?
Hold on, Days Rabies. No, I've rabies.
He's got rabies.
I've got rabies.
What the David Cronenberg film? What the fuck are you talking about, John?
Hold on, I'm all wrong.
John Rhys Davies. Say it.
Oh, John Rhys Davies.
Thanks. Thank you.
Oh,
I forgot the John
no
part.
Way, cool.
Okay, so how many times is he going to be asked to say in my axe? How many?
How many times is he going to be asked to say it in a porno situation?
Oh, God.
I always wanted to say indie.
Oh, God. Bad dates. Well, that's cool. I have
anybody
not...
else of interest, or is that it?
Indie.
You have the worst impersonation of John Rhys Davies ever. Man,
Davies.
Robo sucks.
Bot Rhys Davies. That's our new official. It's like what is it? It's like the computer for the weekend, the Hall of Weekend Justice from the Super.
Oh
Friends.
Shit, you guys! We have a Torchwood actor going.
Yes, we do.
Who? What?
One.
He's been there before.
What?
Has he?
Kyle Ellison. Yeah.
Shall we play the game?
Oh fuck! What's his name?
Scott can't remember any of the men he's banged.
I know. I need to get a notebook.
Oh, shit.
Write this shit down.
Who plays? What's her name's husband?
Oh fuck!
Oh, Owen.
I left. Oh, so hard. I headphones off.
Jewel State's gonna be there. I still won't get her number, but you know.
I have it. I used to have it at least.
Who?
Jewel State. She was in Firefly.
That's right.
She took us for a
was
lot.
Was she in Firefly?
She took a lot of my money.
But you got her number.
Yes. Yes, I
did. She's also in Disney's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, folks. Don't forget that.
Which one was she in Firefly? Because all I've seen is the movie Serenity. I don't know.
She was the mechanic.
She's
the engineer. Kylie, yeah.
Kaylee?
It's Kaylee.
Kaylee,
yeah. Somebody say Kylie.
But I remember her from Flash Forward, a little-known Disney Channel TV show from when I was a kid, which she was in with Ben Foster, which I thought was high fucking hilarious, and I thought she was a cutie pie. I think she's like a year or two older than me. But yeah, so from a very young age, I had a crush on her. And then I found out as an old man that she was in some sci-fi show.
And she's married, too.
Yeah, well, John, details.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've fucked married guys. That's not a big deal.
Yeah, and have you seen me? Come on.
Awkward. Yeah.
you know, if you would have went to DreamCon, you could have seen her and Ron Perlman doing
do karaoke.
Karaoke. Yeah.
Karaoke.
I'm sorry I missed that.
With about five
Michael Rosenbaum wasn't there.
I was, I think I was doing a panel at the time or something.
It was late at night, too. You might have gone to bed.
You're doing our mini film fest, yeah.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's probably actually what it was.
Yeah.
You guys, too soon.
What? What?
Huh?
What?
What?
Never mind.
Michael Rosenbaum? What?
I think he was referring to the mini film fest.
Oh, okay.
He's trying to make it awkward, but I'm not sure that it really is.
No, it was creepy.
I was just trying to make it awkward, though.
But it was creepy. It wasn't awkward.
Oh, okay. I'm learning the difference.
Yeah, there's a big difference. You got to be careful.
Hey, Widge.
Hey, John.
Because, you know, this is the best time to always bring up technical things.
Oh, God.
Things that should be really shared,
like, now?
Should be really shared off the podcast.
We're all doomed.
I just went on iTunes a little while ago looking for Weekend Justice.
Yeah?
And it's really hard to find.
Why is that?
I think it's because of the way that the... because, first of all, it thinks it's done by unknown.
Okay.
Also, it's under... Even if you do Need Coffee as a search, it does not show up.
That's weird. Okay.
It is. It's stuck in the, like, this weird... It's in your podcast. It's obviously your podcast feed that's feeding into it, but it doesn't have any cover image, doesn't have anything. It's kind of all screwed up in iTunes.
We need to cover our...
So, I don't know if you want to take a look and see if you need to resubmit under a different thing.
Yeah, or... I will find that out and find out what the fuck's going on.
The other ones, your Way Homers and the Society for SFOP, whatever it is, show up fine, but that one is like really hard to find. It's mixed in with Help Me Rocks and everything else, which is fine.
Yeah. I can find a need coffee feed, but I can't find an individual feed.
Yeah. So aren't we glad we shared this now? I just brought the podcast to a screeching halt.
I have no idea what just happened because I got disconnected right after John said, I need to talk about some technical issues.
We just...
John,
well, he,
John
he,
you are...
What? What just happened?
John, you are an asshole.
We actually dropped you off the call, Scott. We just thought you weren't needed for that segment. It's fine, though. We're back.
John was just reviewing some lube.
What do you mean? What do you mean him? If you're gonna review some lube, you talk to the expert.
Oh, did you guys see the reviews for the male hair removal cream that's on eBay?
Yeah, Scott has fucked Mary lube before.
I need the lube.
What's that? What? Oh, I'm sorry. What's that, Aaron?
There's a great there's a male hair removal cream on eBay. That the comments for have been rather amazingly tactless about what people are using it for and what's gone wrong for them. I'm just going to see if I can bring it back up because there's some gold in there. Talk amongst yourselves while I find this.
So hair removal. So first of all, what makes it male hair removal versus just people?
But it says for men. Hold on. I'm going to share the link
title.
Well, it says this is what brand says.
Is it Amazon?
Oh, you said eBay.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I was incorrect. It's Amazon. I apologize. Which you can get via needcoffee.com.
Used lube on eBay.
Do not put on knob and bollocks.
The first review is, do not put on knob and bollocks. Being a loose cannon who does not play by the rules, the first thing I did was ignore the warning and smear this all over my knob and bollocks. The bollocks I knew and loved are gone now. In their place is a maroon-colored bag of agony which sends stabs of pain up my body every time it grazes against my thigh or an article of clothing. I am suffering so that you don't have to. Heed my lesson. Do not put on knob and bollocks. I am giving this product a 5 because despite the fact that I think my bollocks might fall off, they are now completely hairless.
Oh my god.
Wow.
And that's just the first
one. Oh my god.
That's not right.
No. And you know what's not right? I'm looking in the ingredients. The second ingredient is urea. That's like part of urine, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Ew.
It's where urine gets.
Oh, it's
I also like the fact that there's Prunus Amy Amygdalus Dulcis Oils. I like the Prunus as a name for something.
Hey, Rob's here.
Hi, Rob.
Hey, Rob.
Hello.
Hey, Rob, we're talking about hair removal cream and putting it on your bollocks.
Okay.
You know, as we do.
And I had nothing to do with this.
Damn.
I'm gonna read the next review for the fine folks at home. Well, like 90% of the reviews on the page, I would say we have all suffered from making the terrible mistake of vandalizing oneself in which ways we shouldn't. If you are a keen player in the arts of BDSM or sadomasochism, be my guest. This product will certainly bring you pleasure. However, if you are a run-of-the-mill bloke trying to remove some unwanted hair from some unwanted places, this product will make you cry. I obviously wanted to sport the longer look, which, let's not beat about the bush, no pun intended, makes any man feel about themselves, feel better about themselves, I should say. Well, it does me anyways. I'm also a fairly hairy individual, so this product is certainly useful as it's near to impossible to shave my own back. However, when applied to the genital region, the first couple of minutes you stand there looking at it, trying to sniff the air to see if you can smell that horrible burning hair smell, which I couldn't. You then realize after a few more moments that your smile has changed into a very neutral position. I don't really read instructions in life. I treat them as if they were the EULA thing when you install software or start an Xbox game and you just click next. Anyhow, all I can say is that I would not need a flame on a stick going through a dark tunnel or cave. I would simply whack my bollocks out. Yes, you guessed it. Bright red and pretty painful. But I do look hung. Anyhow, I would do it again. Maybe in a few months. My skin's pretty resilient, so it's not too sensitive. But I guess if you're a ginger or generally have light, fair, sensitive skin, you may find out the hard way and wake up one morning with extremely high voice and notice you have no more testicles and being officially classed as a eunuch. Cheers for that.
Wow.
Oh.
Good God.
And you can get this
now,
on Craigslist?
How the fuck did this come up as a topic?
Yeah, Aaron.
It matters. I mean, this
I
is
can't remember now.
Danger, isn't it?
There was a segue, though, trust me.
No. What's that? I don't think there was.
Would you even be surprised if you came on at some point and the conversation was about removing whale hair or something?
Yeah, come on, Rob. This is not your first rodeo.
What is the product called again?
Veet for Men.
Okay.
Hair removal gel cream.
Okay.
Available to Amazon.com on the Neat Coffee website.
It is. For
$5.99. Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of pain in the bottle.
Scott doesn't have to worry about this stuff.
Why not?
Because they don't have hair yet. They're still
pretty
young.
Hey.
Oh, wow.
No. No.
Scott's not allowed in the Boy Scouts. He can't. I'm sorry. Never mind.
Shut up.
Oh. You're all evil, but I appreciate that. So, so Rob, what have you to report?
Let's see. Nothing. We got Lee's not on the phone. Is she gone?
Lee did not report for duty.
See, I'm tormented because, you know, she wants me dead because of our music podcast, and then she twitters that she hopes I'm okay because of the tornadoes in the Midwest, and I just found that incredibly weird.
She's a good
unusual
person
creature,
that way.
I'm just saying. So,
either that or she's manic depressive.
She's on a lot of meds right now.
Well, there you go. So, specifically nothing really super exciting, which, sorry. Just, you know.
You didn't go see Pulp in New York then?
No, I actually watched the Coachella set on the New Music Express website. And, which I think is still on. You can watch the entire Coachella set. They threw chocolate and candy at people in the audience, which I thought was great near the end. They were on Jimmy Fallon, and I was watching them, and it looks like it's just Jarvis Cocker and session players. But then I've heard it's the different class era lineup of Pulp, which doesn't have Richard Hawley, who's just a really great guitarist. So I think that the rest of the band has sort of aged, whereas Jarvis Cocker hasn't. And it might be that era of the band, but I'm still investigating that. So, no, but the great thing about Coachella is, like, all the bands I wanted to see, they streamed their shows different places live, so I didn't have to go put up with all the hooligans and hot weather and getting there and all that other stuff. So,
so you got to see all the musicians, even the dead ones.
Yeah. Yeah, that was very weird.
I like how I was watching a thing on YouTube of his holographic performance. And I love some of the comments on the YouTube page were like, well, you know, I still don't think he's dead, but if he is dead, the hologram's a good idea.
Yeah.
For the record, you do not have my permission to use me in as a hologram after you kill me.
Yeah, I'm assuming his mommy signed off on this, right?
No, his
mammy,
mother.
Excuse me,
his
racist
mother.
Much?
I would, what I would assume, Aaron, is that since copyright and publishing probably also cover likeness in any way, shape, or form, that they probably got paid.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's a pretty cool gimmick, but I'm sure they paid for it. So, I just hope it doesn't start like a really scary trend.
Well, that's just it. Paul could finally, Paul McCartney, Macca could start finally pulling the strings and have his fake John Lennon beside him.
Well, I said earlier, Julie Taymor and Peter Sellers are teaming up.
Weirdly, it's probably just as likely as John and Paul.
Yeah. But to answer Aaron, I have no interest in really going to Coachella. It's just, it's way the hell out there, and it's really friggin' hot. So...
Oh, yeah, I'm over festivals. Much as I like the idea of being able to see so many bands in a short period of time, just the hassle that goes along with being at a festival is just outweighs the good parts, unfortunately, at this point.
Wow,
I've reached that age.
And they play, like, you know, they don't play full sets. They do, like, 30 or 40-minute sets. Or, inevitably, what will happen, I'm assuming, Aaron, you're probably in the same boat that I'm in, that, like, they'll have all the bands you want to see at the same time. Like, I believe, and I may be wrong, that Pulp played at the same time as Joker, which would have been like, okay, damn you. You know, it's inevitable that they put two bands on at the same time you want to go see. On two different stages, so.
Yeah. And I'm a fucker because I hate being far back from a stage. I feel like at that point I might as well be watching it on TV.
Right.
So
I don't want to be that close, though. Like, I don't mind if I'm going to an arena scene. Like when I saw Radiohead, I had 300 level seats and it was fine. But I didn't want to be on the floor because it's a concrete floor and, you know, I'm old. So.
But see, we kind of have a rough here because Smashing Pumpkins fucked up our festival, our concert scene forever. Because when they played here at their height, a couple of people died at the gig because there was like it was close to a river and a couple of people like you know drowned and shit like that. And ever since then, they have this whole they clamp down and you cannot mosh.
Do the Irish not have fences?
That and many other racist jokes you can hear in Scott's new play coming out next week. It's basically it was an outdoor festival. People were cramming in. The security couldn't handle the fact that there was 80,000 people at once. I guess I don't know. I don't care. It was before my time.
They'd planned for 14. Is the thing.
It could also have been the fact that they were listening to Smashing Pumpkins and felt like jumping themselves in a river.
But ever since then, you were not allowed. No one's allowed to be on someone else's shoulders, even on an outdoor gig. Security will make you get down. There's no moshing allowed. There's no crouch surfing allowed. There's basically no fun. You just have to stand there and watch.
So wait a minute. I've never had a problem. It seems to me that if you're on someone's shoulders, you are less likely to drown than if you're like standing in a river. Or...
No, they basically, it was like some sort of weird, like a Stalin-esque, you know, oh, with this, I'm going to use this as an excuse to bring in a bunch of measures now and say it's for your safety.
In other words, they're trying to they got a break from the insurance company.
Well, insurance is not as big a thing here. Maybe these days, but not back then. It was more so that they could basically the security the companies were started to make a fortune because they had to be hired en masse at gigs and could act like dicks.
Yeah.
Well, and that's part of my thing, as I've mentioned before on the music podcast, is that it takes a really serious situation for me to come out and see.
Hi, I'm
music.
Rachel with 90 Second Reviews. Ah! You're cool.
Wow.
Oh my God, what's happening?
Hi, Rachel. Welcome to Weekend Justice.
What the fuck was that?
That wasn't me.
I didn't touch anything.
Got up.
Oh my God, that is like the creepiest fucking pop under ever. Because I hadn't even touched the fucking browser. Where the fuck did that fucking come from? All right, after I get off this podcast, I'm fucking running SpyBot on my machine. Holy shit.
He's going to use this exact same excuse when we hear him play porn in a minute.
It is either one of Scott's ladies that got out, or Rox is hiding people in the basement again.
Rachel is a bitch.
This time.
Not me.
See, it's funny when we say Rox hides people in the basement, but when Joseph Fritzl does it, it's all like a big deal then.
It is a big deal.
Because Rox would make them have a craft show or something. So.
Make something now!
And it's also more impressive that she does it because the water table in Jacksonville is a lot higher.
More macaroni artwork, more!
Here's some popsicle sticks and glue. Please.
Oh my gosh! You know
you have 2 hours.
Don't forget, you can make trees out of Reader's Digest magazines.
Yes,
you can also make a shiv if you're really industrious.
Which is weird because Reader's Digest magazines probably came from trees, so that's got to be a real fuck you to the trees.
Here you go.
Fuck you, trees.
Yeah. God. And now Bob Ross art, I'll tell you. That's cheating, people.
Now, did I tell you guys the story about the time that they called my mom in for a conference when I was like in kindergarten?
This does not surprise me.
And the teacher said that she might need to take me in for like therapy. Did I ever tell you the story?
This again does not surprise me.
Was this your truth or lie at the panel show last year?
I don't think so. Was it? I don't remember. I don't think so.
If only there was video of that.
You know, I hate to say this, Switch, but this shows how old you are because they didn't instantly recommend you taking pills.
No, trust me. If I was around today as a kid, I would be medicated out the ass. There would be no Weekend Justice League because we would all be on drugs and not even the happy kind of drugs. The teacher called my mom in for parent teacher conference and said, that she might want to get me, you know, to a doctor to look at me, head doctor. And my mom said, okay, why? And now I'm
actually. Really, she should have been thinking, why not?
Yeah, I know. Well, I was young. She didn't know me then. But basically, said, well, when it's time for color, John sits down, because back then I was called John. Before that, it was Vlad, but we won't get into that.
Hold on. When did you steal John's identity? John, did you know about this?
I've known for some time.
Let him tell the story.
Hang on, Aaron. Let me just explain. Now, I know that in Ireland, your most common name is spelled Shinnobiah. And that's
Shinobi.
Yeah, that's your version of John. But over here, there's lots of people called John. I'm just saying. I mean, John, you're under that a lot, don't you?
No, never. I don't know anybody else named John.
That's true.
Widges, dime a dozen.
Because now, I know. There's actually what's hilarious is there is some kind of rap artist in Atlanta named Widget with two T's. So I see his tweets all the time.
And oh, and shit's going down.
There is a basketball player somewhere whose last name is Widget. And so I have a search on Widget just so I can see when Aaron's talking smack about me online. And and all those tweets show up as well. But anyway, so says, well, when it's time to color, John, that demon that will turn into Widge one day, basically grabs the black crayon and fills in the entire page with black crayon. And my mom just said, well, did you ever ask him if he liked to color? Because I hated coloring. So I would just grab the black crayon.
How could you hate coloring?
I don't know. Because, I mean, Aaron, look at what I evolved into. I don't like color now.
Yeah, we know that now. But back then, yeah, I would be a little concerned.
I know. But basically, I did not like color. I would like drawing. I would draw all fucking day long. But it's like, so coloring. Oh, fuck. All right, fine. Grab the crayon. Do the fill in the paper.
Too many choices, Widge.
I'm done. Can I go now? Oh, it wasn't even a choice thing. It was just a boredom thing. I got bored very easily.
By the way, if anyone's trying,
you got all that stuff you can do.
If anyone's trying to imagine Widge at this age, he had a beard then too.
I know. I know. I really did.
Actually, no. I've seen pictures. It's kind of weird, but I've seen pictures of him as a kid, and he had no beard.
I thought we hide them when Scott comes over.
Sure? No, no, that's the lube. We hide the lube. And the hair removal.
Well.
It refreshes every 15 minutes. And we
thank you. I was waiting for that. Thank you, RoboTuffly.
That got awkward real quick.
Well, no, you know what? And that was awkward. Dear listeners, that was awkward as opposed to creepy, which we had before.
Yeah.
You gotta know
your emotions.
Yeah, know what kind of conversation you're in. Yes, Rob.
The scary thing is that now Rox is gonna run up the stairs for the zine and make Need Coffee Babies, and we're all in trouble.
No, I'm not. That's too much.
Would that be like Muppet Babies?
That is creepy.
Yeah. Yes.
Kind of like that. Yeah, totally.
Would the soundboard be the thing with just legs?
Yes.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
My favorite email though of the last 2 weeks is when someone said, because we had the thing posting about what they thought the soundboard like apartment was or whatever, somebody like emailed me, it's like, oh, I didn't realize you guys all actually live together. And I'm just like, no. Yeah.
Hey, how come you're getting fan mail and I don't get any? What the fuck?
Yeah, I don't get any propositions.
Aaron, I get emails from people. You get all the girls going to your panel fawning all over. So you be quiet. Yeah, you and Tuffley. We're going to put you on the cover of Teen Beat.
Teen Beat.
You'll never let me live down the Britpop panel from last year, will you?
Rob, we could do alternate covers for the zine.
Introduce me. That's what Rob hears all the time. Why don't you introduce me to that German friend of yours?
I might.
Are we doing a Britpop panel again this year, Dragon Con, Rob?
Yes. Yeah, well, I will say, first of all, I before I answer this question, Witch cannot get mad at me because it does involve Need Coffee, so therefore my non-involvement clause is exempt in this instance.
Okay.
But somebody originally wanted there to be two Britpop panels. The first was the regular Britpop panel, right? And then the other panel they wanted to do was an entire Britpop panel devoted to the 40th anniversary of Ziggy Stardust, which I'm just like, nobody fucking cares. Sorry.
Well, Doc Hammer would show up for that.
Yeah, but we could flip it in. I mean, I think we're gonna do one Britpop panel, and I really want to do like a Music of the Apocalypse panel or something like that, but I don't know. So.
Well, we've got the post.
We are doing a track. Yes. And actually, Aaron, I'm really trying really hard to get, like, a Need Coffee, like, night where we get to, like, play records for people. But it's not easy.
Yeah, that would be fun. I missed your DJ set last year. Did that actually happen in the end?
No. It's okay. But it may happen this year, but it depends on where I'm going to put it under whose umbrella.
Ah, yes.
So,
umbrella.
I know several track directors. There is only one I probably would work for. And she's very nice. And despite what the mean things I say about her, it's probably maybe leave. Yeah. So.
Well, I was thinking about doing a thing one night as well in Lee's room. So we might start taking over Lee's room and just turning into a club.
I'm trying to get something
lined up on Thursday night at the Masquerade, because we normally have like an alternative indie night. And apparently the DJ only shows up like twice a month, and they always have subs. And I'm like, I could get you like four or five people that'll do it on a rotating set for a night, and you won't have to pay us. Just give us a food and booze tab.
Well, they don't know what they're getting themselves in for with that one.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, I know, but that's okay.
Where do we know? I can start this Thursday. Let's go.
Yeah, the only thing we have to figure out is how Rox is going to plug in the Victrola. So
it could be done.
There.
Yeah, I did that once. I DJed at this bar once, and the guy was so pretentious and annoying that I lugged my Victrola over and then used their house mic and set that in their speaker and just played 78s all night.
Nice.
So, I'm trying to think of the name of the thing that makes the old-fashioned noise.
Oh, theremin.
Theremin, yeah, that's it. Because when you first said that word, I was thinking of that.
Yeah. I have access to a theremin from a friend of mine, but there's no way I could get that on a plane and get it down there.
Wow, really?
Rox, I'm not letting you anywhere near a theremin. No, Rox is not allowed to near a theremin.
Oh, my God, Rob.
Does she turn into a Tesla coil and try to take out Atlanta?
No, I just want to see.
My version of hell is Rox with a theremin and Lee with a harp.
Rob, what I really want to see is I want to see Rox and Angelo Moore as dueling Dr. Mad vibes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah, you know. Yeah, what? And actually, I have a friend of mine in Jacksonville who, if he sells his theremin, I'll call Rox, but I want to be there when she comes over to Brian Setzer and goes, "Hey, you, I've got a theremin. You take that."
Yes. Oh, my God. There could be, like, dueling theremin concerts between our houses.
Yeah, Roxy, you probably be the only person who cares about this. You know what I got this week?
What?
Do you remember back when we were kids, the old school cabinets, you had the TV, and then on top of the TV, it slid it over, and there was the turntable that dropped down, and then you had the stereo on the side with a little rolling thing on it?
Yes.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. It was, first of all, it was a bitch to move.
Yes.
And
well, it's furniture.
Yeah, but it's also bulky as hell. And then the other thing is where exactly I had to like move the entire record collection to get it in the extra room to get it in there. And I've got a friend of mine who thinks he can get the TV to work, so that'll be cool. So.
Ooh. What size is the TV? 13-inch or something?
Yeah, it's 13. Now, what's interesting, though, is the record player. It's the old school one where it has 33, 45, and 78.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then the same estate sale, I bought a really handy-dandy 8-track player.
Yeah.
And I bought some of that 8-track collection off of it. It's like 120 8-track tapes. Yeah, I didn't know London Calling was out on 8-track and Pink Floyd. The sound on the Pink Floyd is interesting, and I have to check because I think the track order on the wall, on Dark Side of the Moon is actually different to arrange to shorten it in for the time for the 8-track, but I have to check. I can't tell if it's all the same tracks and it's, just labeled weird or if they cut things.
Rob, you could update that on Wikipedia. That could be your infinitesimal amount of Floydian knowledge that you could add.
Yeah, I can also wash my socks.
You have an entire 8-track section of the Wikipedia article on whatever album. That would be great.
Yeah. I'm actually going to flip that. I'm probably not going to keep the 8-track because, you know, when you come home to your, you know, Rox may be the only person in the world that understands when you come home to your partner with an 8-track player and a bunch of 8-tracks.
There's no rewind.
Yeah, it's like, yeah. You know, we were supposed to have dinner 20 minutes ago. Yes, but they bought 8-tracks.
Oh, my God. There's no rewind. I remember you'd have to, like, go through, like, it was ELO's Out of the Blue, which was a two-album 8-track just to get to that one song again. You're like, yeah. Oh my God, I can't get to it. Oh my God, it's horrible.
Yeah. I mean, it was $4. How could I not resist?
This is true. What kind of wood is it made of?
Ladies. The 8-track, it's a square box with an 8-track.
No.
Two speakers on the side, and rocks, here's the best part, it's got a handle. So you can plug it into a wall. It's an 8-track player with two speakers that you can plug into a wall and like a little small mini cabinet full of 8-tracks.
Oh, wow.
So Rob, what are you going to – you paid $4 for all this. What, are you going to flip it for 8? I mean, what kind of –
they all laughed when I did this in the state sale last year. I bought a guy's video disc player and video discs. Although I did keep Star Wars because the artwork on it was cool. And
well,
I made like $150
bucks
off that.
That you can't get anywhere else. I mean.
Yeah, I made $150 off that.
Nice.
How much did you pay?
Yeah. 9.
Although I will say this, there's also something to be said for.
He's like the guys on Storage Wars.
But also, think of it this way. If we ever have to give away crap prizes at the Fun Fest.
Which we've done. No, I'm sorry. That was the Film Fest. We've done that. Well, they weren't all crap, but we had some years where we're like, oh, here's a box of, what is this? Anyway, go on.
I do believe that's what we did for Blankety Blank this year, though.
What? We had good prizes.
Did we not just go, here's a crocodile video.
What? Crocodile video?
Oh, that's what? Not nice. He works hard all year to get stuff for this thing. He just involved with it.
No, what crocodile video?
Aaron?
What?
Jerk.
No, I feel it was some sci-fi thing. Like it was like Chocodile, the movie.
Oh, you mean that
Chocodile versus Twinkie
channel thing? That Sci-Fi Channel DVD that was signed by Roger Corman, the cinematic legend I was mentioning earlier. Yeah, so that was the crap. Okay, Aaron. So I know where our crap level's at. What our clip level crap.
Well,
is.
You got to remember, Witch. Yeah. He's like 13 years old.
Yeah, I know. He doesn't know who Roger Corman is.
Hold on.
You have to remember too, Witch, because he has the common sense of Courtney Love on Twitter.
Shit!
Wow, shit just got real.
I can stand many things, but being compared to Courtney Love, I ain't taking that.
Come on, man.
Take that back.
It's a shame.
God, I love your boy Dave Grohl's response to all that when they were asking him about her, and he's just like, "Hey guys, I got a record to make."
I've got a career to continue. I'm sorry. I can't be dealing with her.
Wow. Hey, haul her back together. Big deal, right?
This might surprise you, Aaron, but I didn't care the first time.
No, it does not surprise me, Rob.
Although, I did almost reach a breaking point because I had a girlfriend I was dating. Her favorite two bands were the fucking Smashing Pumpkins and Hole. And I got her to start liking some other stuff. But for the life of me, I just like, I could never stay at her house because her record collection was shitty. You know?
Was there a lot of angry fucking?
Wow.
Wait.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
I don't even, it's so bad. And every one of us has these. It's so bad. I don't even mention her name around my wife because my wife just laughs at me and starts swearing in language I don't understand.
Wait. Rob, I love the notion. I love the notion that. You don't even have – the records were so bad. You didn't even have to put them on the turntable. By osmosis, by looking at the cover art, it was playing in your head. So you couldn't stay over your house lest in the middle of the night you'd be assaulted by memories of listening to this music.
No, no, no. You have to understand. She played, she had music on her computer on repeat. So even like if she was like in a room at night, it would be in the back room, sort of like on a loop playing. So I always either heard the Smashing Pumpkins album, with the last double album one, that double album thing, or the one before. Now Gish, I don't mind. I like Gish, but, or the whole record and those two and Pretty Hate Machine by Nine Inch Nails. And Orgy, the band Orgy, were like always in rotation on the computer. So even if I was like trying to watch TV, that was still playing. I'm like, can you turn it down? No, the computer's set. I just like to keep it running. So it was like Wait a minute. Not like I just looked up and there was a crap CD collection and it bothered me so much. I had like went.
I do love that idea though. I do love that idea. No, but Rob, wait a minute. So she would go to sleep with fucking Orgy playing on the computer? Really?
That would be the best of it, yes. And the thing is, she played classical cello. Here's the sad thing. She played classical cello, which I thought was badass at the time, right?
Badass!
So, but if you play classical music, you shouldn't listen to such horrible music. It was a
Rob, cellists can have daddy issues too, okay?
Whoa. That was creepy. That was not awkward. That was creepy.
My daughter is learning to play the cello.
Uh-oh.
What are you saying?
All cellists have daddy issues. I'm just saying they can have them if they want to.
Just all cellists become strippers.
If they want to. They opt into
it. I'm pro-choice in the daddy issue area, okay?
That's what we've heard.
So, Aaron, you want people to opt into having daddy issues is what it is.
If they feel like it.
This was this is like maybe 8 years ago at Dragon Con. I told Dan, I'm like, if you see this girl, hide me. Because that was like the second year after we broke up, she went down 1 year to Dragon Con and was like driving me nuts the entire convention.
Holding up CDs so that the music would trigger in your
brain. No.
Go to sleep, Rob. I can play my music for you, Rob.
No, she's like, well, it keeps me, you know, I understand, you know, I have stuff that plays a lot when I'm at home, just sort of like background music, but I at least vary it, you know? And so one night I switched it up. I put like Tchaikovsky in and some Miles Davis and some other stuff just to make it like mellow. And I'm like, don't you ever put anything mellow? And she's like, I have a hard job. When I come home, I want to rage out. I'm like, yeah, but if you're having dinner, do you want to rage out? She's like, I like Billy Corgan's voice. And I'm like, okay, have a good time. So.
And then Rob packed up his stuff and left.
No.
Your stuff is still there?
Oh, no, I didn't have any stuff there to leave.
Oh, because the moment you walked in and went, look at this CD collection. I ain't leaving shit here. I may need to leave.
Sadly, on that point, you are correct. You walk in. No. You walk in. You look at their book collection, their CD. Aaron, you got to fucking help me out here. You look at their book collection, their DVD collection, and their CD collection, and you say, can this be mixed with my shit and I feel comfortable?
Rob, I would say on this, I'm not as superficial. As long as they're pretty, I don't care.
Exactly. I wasn't being that. It's like they're saying high fidelity. It's not who you like, it's what you like. But on that particular point, and this is the only girl that it's ever been like. It's not been like this with like every other girl. In this instance, every other thing about her was so great and so awesome, except that one fucking thing. So in a way though, it was good because with Janet, I didn't even, when I met her, focus on what music do you like. We just got along and that was like totally not even an issue. But like before, it was always a big deal. What movies, books and crap did, comics and music did the girl I dated like, right? Well, this one put an end to that shit because everything else was great except the fucking record collection. So, yeah.
See, I always treat that like a challenge. It's like, oh no, I'll get you into the good stuff.
Yeah, and I did. I was like, this
Aaron
is
also means music as well.
I got her to like a lot of trip hop. I got her to like Trippy, Tricky, and Portishead, and Massive Attack, which was great. And she just wouldn't play it at home, you know. And she was really into like the really awful dark wave goth stuff. So at the end of the day, if I'm listening to the Smashing Pumpkins or anything on the Project Records music catalog, I'm sorry to say the Smashing Pumpkins fucking win.
Wow.
You know. And But to be fair, I did get the Duncan Nance box set for Christmas.
No, that's different.
Yes.
That is fucking different.
Yes.
I will fight anyone who says otherwise.
Yeah. It's a conundrum because at times she would have such interesting and awesome taste in music. But then she'd, at home, she'd just fall back on it. And, you know, like she'd go see shows with me just to take a chance on seeing a new band and, you know, and all that. But then go home and back to normal, you know.
That's kind of like her comfort food.
Yeah. Like, you know, that's a great way to look at it. Her comfort music was not great.
Mm.
So, whereas now, you know, I just don't let her play music in the house unless I say it's okay. No, I'm just kidding.
Well,
does Rob have to choke a bit?
No, the only thing that I tell Janet I don't want to hear her play on her record collection, because I absolutely just can't deal with it, is the Indigo Girls, and that's it.
Wow.
That's the only line.
Of course, I can't play most of the stuff I'm listening to these days around Cosette, so.
Well, I have to play, and the rule of the house is any sort of dubstepy stuff, I have to put on headphones.
Yeah, pretty much.
Because it's too scratchy, and she's trying to like write press releases and do important stuff, and it bugs her. I get that. So I try to be fairly respectful and not play that. But during the day and stuff, like, you know. But you know, and old punk. I don't play a lot of the old punk stuff around her too, because that doesn't jive. But so.
But there you go. Like I said, this episode we learned something about Rob. We learned something.
Sorry.
About everyone, one person each episode. This week it was you, Rob. Well done.
So, Rox, I'm going to totally hook you up with some 8-tracks. Maybe we could give them out with scenes.
Yeah.
No, Rob, I've got it. What you need is you need to give away a very special audiobook edition of the zine done on 8-track.
Yeah, I don't know if you record it onto an 8-track now. You know how hard it is to get an unused blank 8-track? Because they did make the 8-tracks you could record on.
I'm sure.
Really?
Yeah, they did early. Yeah, but...
But it was ruining the music business, so they had to cut it out.
Exactly.
Too many people were copying music.
At one point, yes.
Fucking 8-track pirates.
Yes.
That'll be the death of the music industry, I tell you.
But no, you guys should totally start to think about stuff for the zine, because Rox and I actually got ideas this week, so.
Yeah.
As opposed to all the other weeks.
Yeah, you know, when we pretend.
I don't think I'd even know what to contribute to a zine.
It doesn't matter. So here you go, people, listeners. If you want to contribute to our zine for Dragon Con, just send an article to whichsucks@needcoffee.com.
Now, Rox, what is the name of the zine?
Derelict.
Does it have a theme apart from being derelicts or beans?
Is it pronounced derelict?
Well, at this point, somebody else needs to contribute something, because otherwise it's Rox and I emptying our head.
That sounds fantastic.
If we use the things I pitch to Rox, no one is going to fucking read it.
I will read it.
They will. Sure they will.
I'm in. Done. Sold.
Like,
you have to write our introduction anyway, Widge.
Oh God, yeah, that's right.
So yeah, I told Rox that Robin Gibb lived in a haunted house, and I found a picture of it online.
See, yes.
So then I said, "Hey," and I started doing this reading around on the Bee Gees, and the Bee Gees were into some pretty fucked up shit. So now I'm doing this like weird facts about the Bee Gees. It's bizarrely fucking weird.
It really doesn't matter. Just send us whatever. Brain droppings you have.
Now, we'll Rob, here's
the house haunted by one of his dead brothers.
Whoa!
No,
too soon.
Now, Rob, what I think needs to happen is somebody needs to go and find out about the alternate universe in which there was a television series in the late 70s, early 80s, in which the Bee Gees, while going around the world performing, also solved mysteries.
No, well, that
occurred, yeah.
You know you want it.
Like, which I did not know that when the Bee Gees remade Sgt. Pepper's.
Oh, God!
I didn't know the Beatles were on the set.
What?
Whoa, yeah. Really?
Yeah.
I actually saw that in the theater.
It's a thing of beauty.
The only one who had an issue with it was fucking George Harrison.
Because, oh my God, is George the only one with taste? What the fuck? Oh my God!
The rest of them were, To be fair, Lennon was in the middle of making a record and came by for like 5 minutes. McCartney was just kind of wrapped up in the fact that they were being honored this way. Ringo was Ringo, and Harrison stayed the longest, and was offering script and costuming suggestions.
Oh my God!
Maurice Gibb was in a paintball league. At one point, he played paintball with Henry Rollins and Lars from Metallica.
Oh my fucking God, that sounds amazing.
Yes.
All right. How much were the Bee Gees paid for all this? Not the Bee Gees, oh, the Beatles, sorry.
What? Well, the thing is, they didn't. I mean, it was the label did it. The Beatles had almost no say in it.
So they got no money for this?
They got, you know, whatever the equivalent of 1982 or 3 or 78, when the hell the thing was made. But not near, you know.
I was thinking that maybe it was the money that got them to agree to that monstrosity, but if they didn't get that much money, then...
I think it was a lot of the problem is the publishing rights at that point weren't the Beatles. Right. They didn't own the publishing rights. So the other thing that's you know, interesting is that for the longest time, and I didn't know this, Baz Luhrmann wanted to remake Sgt. Pepper's. And Harrison went...
Oh, my God.
And the
no.
pretty much knocked that shit...
Oh, my God, no.
Yeah.
No. Wait a minute. Let me think about it. No. No. That would be
bad. What do you
mean?
Ewan McGregor would have been great in it.
No. Oh, my God. It's awful.
Nicole Kidman as Eleanor Rigby.
Oh. Hey, oh, Jesus. Oh, God. Tim Burton's Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I was just thinking the same thing.
All right. So, no, wait. What you do is you've got... Now, we need rocks. We need a hammer actor to play the George Burns role. Who would that? Would that be no? Now was Christopher Lee too obvious? Because that would be kind of awesome.
Derek Jacobi, maybe.
He's not Hammer, is he?
New Hammer. Is he Hammer?
What was he in? What was he in?
I don't know. I'm just.
No. He
could. More of a question.
What
than...
was he in?
Answer me.
No, he could have been because he's done a lot of shit, so he could have been.
Are you saying that Hammer is shit? That's what I heard you say.
He's done
a new Hammer is.
No. Woman in Black was decent.
Come on.
I know.
I enjoyed it.
Hammer never
she
hurts him.
She is a woman in black.
Oh, God. Let's see. I don't think he has been.
Okay. No.
Now, wait a minute. Now, what was the song from the Sgt. Pepper movie that George Burns Rex Harrisoned his way through?
It wasn't Here Comes the Sun or something like that, was it?
It might have been. Hang on.
When I'm 64?
Hold on. I'll find it.
Hang on. I'm looking.
I'm looking too.
Hang on. 1978. Let's see. One of the fucking... Oh, my God.
I watched that movie once. I bought it on DVD as soon as I found it.
Oh, my God.
I watched it once and never again.
Why did you do that?
Because I was like, this cannot be anything but amazingly terrible.
Oh,
was fixing,
hold on,
right.
Hold on.
Fixing
what?
A hole?
What?
Fixing a hole, yes. So rocks, Christopher Lee doing Fixing a Hole. What do you think?
Okay, but yeah.
Where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering.
Oh,
in my ears, oh God!
He sounds like Stan Lee doing that there.
Who could be
No, worse than Stan Lee. Stan Lee would give it some feeling.
And where it will go. Where the rain gets in. Excelsior.
My mind from wandering.
Stop this right now.
Excelsior.
Fucking sadness.
Filling the cracks.
I don't see what's wrong.
Through the door. My mind from wandering.
Hey guys, it's not as bad as Casablanca.
Where it will go.
Which is getting further and further away.
Hey, Lee. We could, and this will never happen, but we could write a letter to Christopher Lee's people with a copy of the zine, ask him to read it aloud and send it back to us so that we can release it with the zine. But then when they won't do it, so we could just print the rejection letter.
That'd be great.
Oh, my God, yes.
All right.
Like that.
Let me just say, for the record,
dreaming high.
For the record, to be fair, there were two good things that came out of the Sgt. Pepper film. I know you're wondering what the fuck could those be.
This.
Hold on, the original or the
see the people standing there who disagree.
Can't hear you, Rob. Because this fucking they don't get in my door.
All right, besides that, what was the other thing that came out of?
By the way, when the doctors asked how Widge got his aneurysm, this was it.
Fucking God! All right, two things. First, Earth, Wind, and Fire covering Got to Get You Into My Life.
And this.
God damn you, John!
When
fuck no!
My mind is wandering. There I will.
I'm surprised Cosette has not come down wondering what the hell's going on.
At least it's not Walter Matthau.
That's because Cosette has a job.
Funny you should say that, Aaron, because I get the same thing at my house, too.
Oh, I can't wait till you come over and stay the next time you're here, Aaron. I'm going to make sure. Oh, Aaron, what, you're sneezing? Oh, that's right. Cora must have gotten up in that bed before you slept it. I'm so sorry.
And then he stabs me.
Widge, what you can do when he stays there?
Yes.
You could make it like one of those fancy hotels that they do where every room is curated by a different person. And Aaron's room, all of the sound and visuals could be curated by me and Rox.
Think of
it as a cross between both headphones and Clockwork Orange.
God.
The second
thing. With a bit of Operate mixed in.
Late night, all alone with a
Beatles. First of all, can I just say, I fucking hate that song in the first place, but having Steve Martin do it is the pox on all of us.
It. No! The second...
And Steve Martin can sing!
I know. Little Shop of Horrors. Hello. All right. The second thing was...
Little Shop of Horrors?
No,
which is the tagline for this movie, by the way.
Yes, Come Together by Aerosmith. That's the only other thing. There you go. That was good.
You mean good or bad? You mean bad, right? Or good?
No, it was good.
Okay,
I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Rob, that is the sound of Rob judging me.
No. I just think we differ. That's all. It's good that we differ. It's nice.
Yeah, I'm right and you're wrong.
That is the nicest.
No, it is never about right and wrong, unless it's a girl you're going to have sex with. So,
all right. So, yeah, can I just say I'm very glad that I'm not a girl that Rob's about to have sex with?
No, because I don't have those anymore. I've settled down happily.
Oh, hello. Torturing Rob, and that's not torture me, fine, but don't torture Rob.
No, it's fine.
Okay, Steve.
I'll just say you're a little bit pitchy there, dog. No, I don't hate it. I just don't think it's the best thing on the record.
Well, no. The best thing on the record is the Earth, Wind, and Fire. But
yeah, that's what I think. I love
it.
I'm kidding, Rob.
I'm just saying those are the two good songs that come out of it compared to fucking whoever it was that work their way through I Want You, She's So Heavy. It's just like, oh God. And then fucking oh Christ, what else is on there? Oh fuck, just all the fucking horrible Bee Gees versions of it. Oh no, that's right, it was Donald Pleasance speaking his way through I Want You, She's So Heavy. Oh my fucking God.
Oh my God, I must have totally forgot about that. It's driving me mad.
Oh well.
The sad thing is, at the time, that this was a huge deal.
Oh God.
Which is strange, sorry, because I'm surprised I never heard of it until like a year ago. Was it a year or 2 years ago when I emailed you? I was like, wait, oh my God. Like, and then you were like, yes, I reviewed this shit.
Aaron. God damn it, John, you fuck.
Oh, man.
You will burn the hell of 1,000 Casablancas.
Now, let me ask you, who actually... at any one point actually thought this was a good idea.
Why do you have this?
Well, dude, it was the 70s. Everybody was on coke. Who the fuck knew?
Yeah, cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Here's the thing, and I cannot even believe I know this. The Bee Gees were coming off a huge ride of being like these pretty much the biggest band on the planet. And then they literally had nowhere to go and nothing to do. Because for the longest time, before the Bee Gees were the disco Bee Gees that we all knew, they were sort of like this sort of like pop band, kind of like almost like the Kinks or the Byrds. They were sort of more of a traditional pop rock band, right? Then they become the disco band and they're fucking huge. Then disco dies and they've got to do something else. So what do they try to do? Reinvent themselves again as the pop band they were before Saturday Night Fever. But the label won't let them do that. So they say, well, why don't we give you a gimmick or a project where you can capitalize on your fame? And that, boys and girls, is where it all went wrong. But I believe it made money.
My God, no. Oh, God, no. No. Oh, God, no.
I believe I did buy trading cards for that movie.
It's going to be recast with One Direction next year.
Stop, you never didn't even start me on fucking One Direction.
Oh yeah, they're not that bad. All of a sudden, they're popping up everywhere. Who the fuck are these people?
I know. Okay.
Oh, my God.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
They're the new British invasion.
They're from X Factor UK. They were the big.
Oh, so it's your people's fault.
No, it's not my people's fault.
No, they're not Irish.
Although one of them is Irish.
That's all right.
And funnily enough,
we'll forgive him.
In England, there's like one of the floppy haired, dark haired guys is like the token hottie in the band. But in America, they all go for the blonde Irish kid. Because I guess it's just, you know, looks and stuff like that are different in America. But so apparently the, all of them, Scott. And you play your cards right, and you can score every single 17-year-old in there. The English hottie is apparently miffed that he's not considered as pretty in America.
Oh my!
It's caused tension.
guys, the budget for Sergeant Pepper was $18 million. The box office was 20.3. It made money. Oh God!
Like,
of course, it's an excellent movie.
What? Aaron, like, don't get out of your fucking mind.
It's no Xanadu.
I would take Xanadu over this any fucking day.
Of course, you are. Now that's a good movie.
Xanadu, Napoleon defeated, you won the war. No, that's not it.
Oh my God.
No, that is not it.
Oh my God. And I'm looking on Wikipedia, which is always right, Rob, and I'm looking at all the people who showed up in that final scene. Oh my fucking God.
Here's who showed up. The biggest band of the planet.
I know. Here's who showed up to be in the final scene and sing the reprise of Sergeant Pepper. You've got Keith Carradine, Carol Channing, Donovan, Yvonne Elliman, Jose Feliciano, Leif Garrett, Heart, the band Heart, Barry Humphries, who is there as Dame Edna, Etta James, Dr. John, let's see, John Mayall, Curtis Mayfield, Robert Palmer, Wilson Pickett, Anita Pointer, Bonnie Raitt, Helen Reddy, Cheetah Rivera, Johnny Rivers, Shauna Na.
Of course.
Elle Shannon, Seals and Crofts. Let's see. Tina Turner, Frankie Valli, Grover Washington Jr., Hank Williams Jr., Johnny Winter, Wolfman Jack, and Gary Wright. Oh my fucking God! What the fuck?
I remember when I heard Wolfman Jack speak, he talked about going to make that movie.
Oh, yeah?
He basically walked in, got on camera, went to the bar, and went home.
Wouldn't any of us.
And you have to understand the great thing about Wolfman Jack is if, like, you and I are going to someplace and we wear, like, regular clothes, like jeans and a shirt or whatever, right? Wolfman Jack would pretty much wear either his pajamas or, like, a bathrobe, like anything he did that wasn't, like, DJ.
Okay, wait. Rocks? In relation to Wolfman Jack?
I think distant cousin.
Okay, cool.
Hold on. Roxy related to Wolfman Jack?
See, she said it with conviction. That's why.
You know what? Because Rox owned that. And she's taking it out of here.
That's right.
That's awesome. I have a pair of his headphones.
You what? You stole a pair of his headphones?
Yeah. Yeah, I bought them on eBay.
How do you know they're Wolfman Jack's headphones?
Well, I'm going to believe the certificate of authenticity.
Okay, all right, that's fine. Yeah. Well, we will not burst your bubble. They are Wolfman Jack's headphones.
Yeah, I realize that they are probably not, but that's okay.
No.
Are they decent, though? Are they good?
They are older than shit. They are... And they have a label on them for a radio station that he worked at. So if they're not his, he probably was near them enough that it makes me happy.
Is there still some ear scum in it?
No. Yeah, because otherwise we take the DNA and, you know.
Jurassic Jack?
Never mind.
What?
Never mind.
What?
He's talking about T-Rex masturbating.
Oh.
Jurassic Jack.
T-Rexes can't masturbate. That's why they're always so pissed off all the time.
Well, they have to get someone to give them a happy ending. Scott, you could be a T-Rex fluffer.
No. You think giving a blowjob with teeth is bad? Imagine getting it from a T-Rex. No.
Okay, wait. Sore? I did not say blow.
Wait a minute, Scott. You've thought of this.
I thought of it just now.
Scott, I just want to say that I thought I was a dick for talking about how shitty my ex-girlfriend's record collection was, but now I completely feel much better.
Wait. Are you saying that he has a T-Rex for an ex-girlfriend?
No, but if I was going to have a conversation through the course of the night, I feel really bad about having a conversation about a crappy record collection. I never would have thought it would have been topped by someone talking about a blowjob from a T-Rex.
Welcome to Weekend
Rob. You have to understand, for a brief second, I wasn't thinking the regular T-Rex. I was like, Scott is too young to have had a blowjob from Mark Ross.
Scott is a very young groupie hanging around T-Rex waiting
No.
Yeah, Scott C. Jim Curry and Mark Bolan just hanging around giving each other blowjobs. When Scott turned 4, it was awesome.
Oh, God. And we're in a dark place now. That is creepy and awkward, dear listeners.
And both time travel, it seems.
For those of you keeping score.
John?
Yes, thank you.
John?
Yes. Sorry, I was reading the plot too, as Xanadu. Go on.
I think the only thing that may get us out of this right now might be Rock Lobster.
Oh.
We haven't done it forever.
Rock Lobster!
Rock Lobster! Stone! What the fuck was that?
Extended remix!
Rock Lobster intercepted on the 15-yard line.
Oh, you can't see it. I'm doing my happy dance right now.
Dead.
Denied the Rock Lobster. Wow. Wow. Well, Scott speaks.
Was it the Velociraptor that shot shit in people's eyes? Because I didn't even fucking go in there.
Wait. I don't think anything in Jurassic Park actually shot shit. Because that would be.
Remember when Wayne Knight got blinded in
Jurassic
Park?
Yeah, that was like some venomous spittle thing. That wasn't
shit. You could do that with somebody's cum. That's just something you have to watch out for.
Wow. Wow.
So, hold on.
Talking about facials. It's about dinosaur facials.
Careful when you do a facial. I'm sorry.
dinosaur facials.
Wow.
Diamonds and pearls and dinosaurs, okay?
It can't just be me. I mean, guys, I mean, you got to be careful, don't you?
No, I've no. Wow.
Jesus. What did you practice on iguanas, Scott? How did this work exactly?
What?
Knowing how hard that is. Well, it is. I'm sure. Oh my fucking god! All right. So on that horribly dark, we had to go to a dark place so we could come back to the light.
I'm sorry I ruined the podcast tonight. I'm so sorry.
No.
Anybody ruined it was Aaron.
What? Hey, how did Aaron ruin the podcast?
He fucking messed up my rock lobster. I am not happy.
I
will not be interrupted by some goddamn leprechaun. And a skinny leprechaun to...
I was happy that you learned to embrace the rock lobster because you used to resent it so much.
Dino facials
are the bomb.
Well,
it's kind of a Stockholm Syndrome kind of thing, but still.
Now he's possessive about it.
Cannot believe I was rock lobster blocked.
Kids.
There's unfortunately a little bit of Scott in all of us.
Lobster, rock, lobster,
lobster. First, shit about my monologue.
But you know,
then give me shit about
Scott has a monologue.
This.
Scott, Rob, listen.
It's the vagina monologues.
Scott did a. It was the vajazzle monologues. Rob, Scott did a monologue, and everyone's been talking about it. Everyone.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Yes.
It went down a storm. Everyone's been telling how great it was.
Did you like that book?
What?
That new popular book that I'm sure Scott will somehow co-op, 50 Shades of Gay.
No. It involves philosophy and pigginess.
It's him talking about pork and people.
What? No one even invoked us.
No invocation.
Rock lobster.
Lobster.
That's it.
Rock lobster.
That's it. That's it. When I get preempted by the robot, that's it.
I've created some sort of uprising here.
Oh, that's what she said.
Yes.
Yeah, just trust an Irishman to throw a car bomb into the works.
We know how to rebel.
You
don't
throw
a
car bomb, Scott. You turn the key and it blows up.
Yeah. throwing a car bomb does kind of make things a little bit ridiculous.
What if... Okay, Rock Lobster has gone out of fucking control. It is time now to head to recommendations so we can
really make do need 27 inch
out of this insanity.
I'm going first.
What's that?
Going first.
That's what he says,
ladies.
To all the boys.
All right, go, Scott.
We've got a couple books here. One is Hide Me Among the Graves by Tim Powers.
Oh.
Yes, he has come out with a new book where he takes history and makes it all mysterious and weird and shit. This time he is going for the pre-Raphaelite period. I can't say that correctly.
Pre-Raphaelite.
Yeah! Yes. And vampire.
Pre-Raphaelite is not a way to invoke rock lobster.
Pre-Raphaelite! Pre-Raphaelite! Boys in the cave.
Everybody's rocking.
I don't understand anymore. Anyway, Scott, continue, please.
Fuck all of y'all. Yeah. Well, like I said, that's Tim Powers. We know he's great, so pick it up because it's good, because it's Tim Powers. Also, the next book I have is The Cabin in the Woods, the official visual companion. Now,
okay.
Yeah, since we know this is just
for the movie or your actual Cabin in the Woods?
Oh, it's like I have money for Cabin in the Woods.
Because I don't want to see your porn.
No, no.
That's
porn! Boys and the ladies.
Too many lobsters. Put them back.
So I'm sure Witch can attest to. There's a lot of little things and little Easter eggs in the movie and stuff, and this will help you try to find some of them.
Nice.
It also has the full screenplay, production art, a bunch of pics from the movie itself, in-depth interviews with people. So it's a great way to get familiar with what seems like to be the horror movie of the year.
It's pretty damn awesome.
So there you go. Done. Dong. You're right.
All right, who's next?
Scott, I feel bad. I feel like we shit in your punch bowl this evening.
You're damn right you did.
Go ahead, Scott.
Oh.
Shit in his punch bowl.
Enough for the lobster.
I better do the next recommendation so I can leave and stop fucking with Scott's shit.
You better leave.
Go, Aaron.
Hey, Aaron, just wait till September. We have to do this in person.
I know, right? My recommendation for this week is a movie I should have seen a long time ago and I kept meaning to get round to watching.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Yes, exactly. And that actually should be on the recommendation list this week, if not for nothing else. But yes, Attack the Block is a movie that I don't know why I kept putting off until now, but I guess
because
I
you're an idiot.
Whoa.
Ah, that's words.
That was part of my movie triple feature the other night. You're so right.
Oh, what did you watch it with?
Well, I went and saw Attack the Block, because it was on the dish, and I was watching that. Then I went and saw The Raid again, and then the midnight show at the theater after The Raid was showing Battle Royal.
Wow.
Okay, fun.
You mean Hunger Games, the original?
I'm
going to slap all those kids.
Attack the Block, for anyone who hasn't seen it and has been silly like myself and put it off until now, is a very fun, but it more than just like a fun movie as well. It's directed by Joe Cornish, who co-wrote the Tintin movie and also was part of the well-known British comedy duo of Adam and Joe. And
he has a pretty famous hen too.
Hen? Oh, I see. John made a cock joke. So, the movie is kind of set around British a block of flats or apartment block, or, you know, it's the ghetto, if you want to use American connotations. But it's basically the idea of what would happen if aliens crash landed in an area which is not that nice. If it's basically how the yokel youths or youths would react and how they would handle them, because let's face it, if you ever lived in a council estate like I have, it's not fun. So those kids are tough. So yeah, it's for Americans, it'll be interesting how Rob, I'm wondering how you kept up with the British lingo as far as the yeah blood.
Oh, it's fine. No worries.
Yeah, it's fine. When you go, I mean, the people that normally go and see like an independent movie, or will go see like a Train Spotting or something like that, will have, or even Tinker Tailor, stuff like that, will have no problem with it. If someone's completely like from Mars and just has no clue about that, it's something that'll kind of baffle them. But I think they can still move on and still see the movie.
Okay, because even for the life of myself, it's I got used to it.
But I guess because I've you know, I hear that kind of accent a lot, but I know it's not necessarily represented an awful lot in British you know, media. You don't often hear the kind of the street lingo in a lot of British stuff. But yeah, that's fair enough if you guys were able to pick it up pretty quickly. So yeah, no, it is a great movie. It's funny. But it is also just a really cool kind of action thriller at the same time. It's just got a lot of cool things going on. Very much in the same vein of Shaun of the Dead, in the sense that it covers a lot of bases in one movie very well. So it's definitely a very enjoyable flick. So if you haven't seen it, like myself, go pick it up. It's available for cheap on DVD at the moment. So you should be able to pick it up for good money. So yeah, that is my recommendation for this week. Attack the Block.
Cool.
Ding.
And Aaron, just to point out, I think probably the reason why most people can pick up on it and not blink is because we're so trained to listen for words that we sort of infer their meaning from their placement. Because really, that sort of language is no different than, say, the language that they created for, say, Battlestar Galactica or Firefly or anything else. That,
right.
So if you're used to listening for stuff like that, I think you pick up on it fairly quickly. So, but yeah, I let me just second that. Attack the Block is a hell of a lot of fun, and has a great fucking creature design.
Yes, it's very simple, but it works.
Yes.
And I do love the line of that it's blacker than my cousin Femi, which gave me a good giggle. But yeah, so it's, and just, you know, the big ugly gorilla wolf bastards, I think, was also how they referred to the aliens for a while too. But yeah, no, there's just a lot of really cool, and it's one of those movies as well where there's nothing really wasted in the film. There's nothing there that has no reason to be there, which I like. I like a good tight script, ladies.
Did you just say you like a nice tight squirt?
Sure, why not?
Well, you know, he normally gets that from a pterodactyl, so.
Yeah, well, Scott's not talking to me anymore, so where else am I going to get it?
All right, thank you, Aaron.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Aaron.
Bye.
All right, who's next?
I will. I'll go. I picked up Mike Mignola's and Christopher Golden's latest piece, Joe Golem and the Drowning City. It's a really nice, fast-paced bit of pulp fiction. Pulp, and I don't want to stick steampunk into it, but it kind of runs in the same genre of the paranormal investigation that Hellboy was working on, and all the Hellboys in the Bureau of whatever, BPBR, whatever they do. There's a short story you can pick up for like 99 cents on Amazon or even the iBook store, which is Joe Golem and the Copper Girl, which is a nice introduction on how fast paced these guys can weave a story. They worked together on Baltimore a couple years ago, which is about his take on the Steadfast Tin Soldier, which was a vampire hunter, with illustrations and stuff. The premise is New York City, parts of New York City and Brooklyn have sunk into, or the oceans have risen so that there's a lot of flooding in through Brooklyn and lower parts of Manhattan. Some of the people that couldn't leave have decided to make homes there. It is also a nice pastiche to Sherlock Holmes, or more like August or Leth's Tales of, or The Adventures of Solar Pons, which is his take on Sherlock Holmes. It's a really great read. I didn't realize, apparently it's a young adult book, but it doesn't read that way because there's a 13-year-old girl involved. She's like the heroine, but it really does not read like a young adult book. So pick up Joe Golem. He's a nice sort of take on Hellboy, you know, that's a little bit more accessible, you know, as opposed to being the right hand of destruction or whatever that Hellboy is. So I'm going with Joe Golem and the Drowning City and Joe Golem and the Copper Girl. Done.
Okay. So who's next? Rob, go.
Who's left?
Okay. Wow. I'm going to start first with the new Spiritualized record, which, if you've never heard Spiritualized, they're pretty great. It's called Sweetheart, Sweet Light. And it's basically Jason Pierce is behind Spiritualized. He always has session players. But if you sort of like that shoegazery kind of thing, then that's what you will like. And the cover on it just has "huh" in big, huge letters with a question mark, which I thought was kind of funny and also kind of cool. So I want to recommend that. Then I want to recommend this odd little strange movie, by the way, that I watched the other night called Wild Target with Bill Nighy and Emily Blunt. And it's a spy. Rupert Grint's also in it too, but it's like this weird sort of spy movie. And it's just a lot of fun. So I want to recommend that. That's also pretty great. And then I've been reading a couple sort of very strange and fun books. One is the Thomas Hart Benton biography, which I had a friend of mine refer this to me. But he's from Missouri, and he painted a bunch of murals in our capital, in our post offices and things. But Thomas Hart Benton, A Life, which I don't know if Rox loves them or not, but it's interesting. I know very little about American art, so it was very interesting to learn that. And then also the Edward Hopper biography came out last year called Portraits of America.
Yeah.
Because I really like Hopper. I just think that some of the stuff he does is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
And the book sort of gives you more of a background of his life than you normally get, because normally you sort of get the general, you know, oh, here's all his work, and they show all of his pictures and paintings, and you don't get much about him at all. And this one is a little different. So it's a little more detailed and it's a little cooler. So I do want to highly recommend that, because it's pretty groovy. And then the last thing I do want to recommend, which I think Rox will like, but I don't know, is a comic / a zine. It's a little old, called Age of Illumination. Benjamin Sawyer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'd never ever I stumbled upon this completely by accident, and it's really well done. The comic book store here had a big zine sale, and they went in their basement and drug out a bunch of zines, and I knew nothing about this, and it's really interesting. So I do want to recommend that. So I don't know if it qualifies, Rox, as necessarily a zine, but it's at least a DIY comic. But the artwork on it is great. It's kind of funny and kind of melancholy and all the things that you want, and funny and dark and all the things you want in your reading. So I do want to recommend that as well. And then lastly, One More Nation. I don't know if you've heard about this. It's Courtney Taylor Taylor from the Dandy Warhols. That's a graphic novel out called One Model Nation, which is surprisingly better than I expected it to be. I thought it was going to be sort of, you know, dumb and silly and sort of pretentious. And while it is a little pretentious and self-ingratiating, the story is actually good, and the artwork on it is actually pretty amazing. So I do want to recommend that, and then I'm done. Ding.
Rob, I Twittered a link to an article about Paul Kirby sort of dabbling into collage art. Did you see that?
I'll look for it tonight when I get home.
Yeah, I think
I've been under a couple of writing deadlines. So.
Oh, okay. It's really kind of interesting, because they actually picked out a couple of comics that he actually did do a collage for instead of full blown drawing it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. So. I'd like to refer to his research, though, for the mayhem that is coming.
Yes.
Excellent.
And where can people submit to our zine, Rox?
Derelict.
Well, you know what I should do? If you want. first of all, let me put it this way. Send it to me, care of widgesucks@needcoffee.com. And if I get enough stuff, I will set up a I need more beer. I will set up a specific email address that goes straight to Rox and Rob for the Derelicts. Okay. Volume 1, The Adventure Begins.
That'll work.
So there you go.
God help us all.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Rob. John, what you got?
Actually, I have a recommendation that isn't actually something you buy. It's something that you can do for free.
Oh.
I recommend you go over to iTunes and rate all the great podcasts from needcoffee.com and write reviews, specifically write reviews as well as rate them. If you're going to give us a, if you're going to give Widge or any of us one star, I take back this recommendation immediately. If you're going to give us five stars, on the other hand, please do write a review as well as rating us, because the review actually has more weight to it than the stars rating does. I think that's fairly easy to do. Most of you have iTunes, so. The other thing I would also suggest, let people know about Need Coffee. Make this the Inform People About Need Coffee month that's called April in 2012 month.
Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Exactly.
Yep.
So also, when you visit Need Coffee, be sure to plus one and like and submit and... When you visit Need Coffee, just submit.
Comment, share.
That's always my byword.
Also comment on some of the stuff that's out there too. We like seeing the comments. That helps drive traffic as well,
nice.
I imagine.
Nice.
Or unless you want to make fun of Scott, in which case, no. No, still be nice. Be nice, people. We love Scott. All right. That's all I had for recommendations, Widge.
Okay.
But if I did have, like, if I wanted to buy something, where could I go?
Well, John, I'm glad you asked that, because what you can do is you can go to needcoffee.com/Amazon, and that will take you straight to the Amazon front page.
That's too easy.
No, I know it's too easy, but God damn it, that's just how we roll. You can go there, and you can buy stuff, and the stuff that you buy, we get kickbacks for. And trust me, whether it's a 99-cent Kindle ebook, more on that in a moment, or a $99 whatever, it doesn't matter. It all counts in various ways that I've talked about before. So it really helps both ways. But yes, you can also, if you're overseas, you can go to Amazon, needcoffee.com/AmazonUK, and it does the same thing for the Amazon UK version of the site. So the first thing I will recommend is that my new Kindle book is out, Something Else, The Complete First Season. The first 24 stories in that series are now available on the Kindle. I know those were published online, but these are the edited final versions that actually have titles. So it is slightly different from what you may have seen before or what you've seen me read before. And the plan is to hopefully do an audiobook of them at some point in the near future. But it's 24 stories for 99 cents, which is fucking ridiculous, but that's just how we roll. So what I would tell you is your best bet is to go to needcoffee.com and slash Amazon and just search for Something Else Complete, and mine is the first entry that comes up. And I'll be doing a post. There'll be a post up on the site by the time you this goes live. That will point to it as well. But that is my my new Kindle edition that is out brand new this week. And I want to thank everyone who downloaded for free my previous short story collection, Magnificent Desolation, because that shot up into high numbers on the free Kindle store, and that was very gratifying. So I appreciate everyone who's done that. And, you know, follow me on Twitter at Widget with two T's for more craziness like that. So I would recommend that, and I appreciate your feedback. And again, just like with that, feel free to go and review the book on Amazon. It is highly recommended that you do so. And just remember, friends, I will say this. If you, because someone, you know, I occasionally get negative comments, which I allow to go through on whether it's a YouTube video or the site or what have you. But just bear in mind this. If you're trying to be deconstructive criticism, i.e. just try to be smart or smarmy or whatever else, here's a tip for me as a webmaster. All you're doing is putting additional content, which by the website terms of use I now own, and putting it on the site, which basically means more words for people to find using Google search. Like the person who said on my Cabin in the Woods review that it was a bad review, and forget avoiding spoilers, that it was just bad. And my response was, thank you for making it so I will rank for Cabin in the Woods avoiding spoilers. So really, and I mean, it's fine if you think my stuff is shit, that's fine, whatever. But my point being is that if you really, really want to make a statement, don't actually make a statement. Because by adding any words to anything that anyone writes online, whether it's me or otherwise, you're actually making it better for them to find. And no one gives a shit, you know, about the smarmy things you're saying. You're actually just making it easier for people to find me and other people in search engines. And you're making us stronger. So just a tip from me.
In other words, don't be a dick.
Your hatred only makes us stronger.
But feel free though to use words like awesome and independent and mortgage and then all sorts of places.
All sorts of keywords. But yes, I would appreciate it if
penis enhancement.
If you like the insane stuff that I do on Need Coffee and here and whatever else, and want to see me actually writing things down where you don't have to actually listen to me, then find it on the Kindle. And bear in mind this, you don't have to own a Kindle. If you have an iPad, if you have an iPhone, if you have Android, whatever, you can have a Kindle app that will let you read it. And here's a tip that I told somebody just today.
And just a tip, ladies.
Just a tip, ladies. There's no DRM on this. So if, first of all, because I don't like to treat people like they're criminals. But second of all, if you don't want to for some reason or need something that's not on Kindle or won't support Kindle, you know what? Buy it from Amazon. Rip it to some other version and read it there. I don't care. I just want you to read it. And for 99 cents, I'm thinking that's pretty reasonable. So there you go. The other thing I recommend is a band that I discovered while running around in Spotify, which saps my will to live. Spotify, not the band. It's a band called Pendulum. And they're apparently out of Australia, but are now based in the UK. And they have a kind of dubstepy kind of album that is kind of, I don't know, a little bit harder than Joker. But maybe kind of like the bridge between Joker and Nero a bit, with a bit of Magnetic Man thrown in.
Okay.
2010.
Listen to you.
What's that?
Listen to you talk it all fancy.
Awesome.
No. Sounded like Kurt Loder and shit. No, it's awesome.
Anyway, it's a 2010 album called Immersion, and I've just been listening to it a lot while I've been working, and it's got some great stuff on there. So I would...
I downloaded it, but I haven't listened to it yet. I'm going to do that tonight.
Oh, cool. Check it out, because that's good stuff. So, yes, a book and the music that helped me edit the book. God damn it, I hate editing. So, yes. So I think that brings us to the end of another episode of Weekend Justice. And just like every week on Weekend Justice, we should end by saying creepy.
I wasn't creepy. Looking at his head.
And by that, she means the head creepy. That's in her fridge.
Mm-hmm.
Hello.
It's not in the fridge. It's in the freezer.
Oh, well, you got to keep it fresh.
And you got to keep it separated.
That's right.
Oh God!
Oh. It can't be in. It can't be near dairy. Okay.
Because if you put the head near dairy, you get head cheese.
Yes.
And that's
not kosher.
No, it's definitely not kosher.
Yeah, people, wash your head.
It is awkward. And when Scott tells you to wash your head, that is creepy. See, that's the difference.
Yes.
It's important you know these things, dear listeners. It will help you in life.
Yes.
Maybe not this life, but life.
Knowing really is half the battle.
And by that, I mean the board game of life.
Oh, man.
No, no,
can you
I'm
imagine
sorry.
A deep coffee version of the board game Life?
Oh, Christ. No, I'm sorry, Rob. I actually meant the breakfast cereal.
Oh, good.
It's the cereal Mikey likes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mikey will do anybody now.
Whoa.
Oh, wait, I mean...
Even a dinosaur.
Yes.
Even a Diplodocus.
Yes, he's moved on from Life cereal to Pop Rocks and
soft
cocaine.
Porn.
Give me just a minute while I clarify.
Hi there. Many of you know me as the half-assed engineer John on Need Coffee's Weekend Justice podcast. But what most of you don't know is that before I was internationally known by tens of people, I was a patient at the Sleep Deprivation Institute, known as NeedCoffee.com. NeedCoffee.com has provided me and many of you with hundreds of hours of therapy through engaging rants, dreamcasts, reviews, contests, news of the offbeat and cool, and of course, more information about caffeine than was really necessary. Why, without NeedCoffee, I might have actually seen Starship Troopers 4 bugging out. Thank you, Need Coffee, for saving me from that fate. Now, all this goodness does come at a cost, so the fine folks at Need Coffee are asking for your help. Please head over to needcoffee.com/memberships to learn what you can do to keep this invaluable resource alive. Your contribution not only will allow for more great content and more chances to win free shit, but it might just save a kitten. So as you sit there, listening to this podcast, this free podcast, sipping on your $8 Café de Frou-Frou, think about what you could have done with that money instead. Sure, you could have donated to some worthy cause, or you could keep Need Coffee and kittens alive. Your choice. Visit needcoffee.com/memberships for more details. Oh, crap. Did I record that?
And here's Dakota.
Hey, let me just ask you, John, if it's soft porn, isn't it doing something wrong? Shouldn't it be?
Yes. Yes.
You're...
Daddy, what's soft porn?
Your vote is registered, Scott. We all knew where you stood on the subject.
So that would be like Scott taking a poll then.
Yeah.
Again.
Sorry.
Wow.